week. It's getting cold outside, but the news is heating up. The next streaming game service will be better than a local experience, and the new PlayStation is named as unsurprisingly as it possibly could be. These are headlines you already know about. Stay tuned for plenty more you may not, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 796 for this October the 13th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here as always with my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Why, hello there.
And welcome back. I hope you're feeling better.
Mostly.
Okay. All right. Well,
I got a weird pillow.
A weird pillow?
Yeah. I've been having, I've had some damage to my cervical spine over time.
Yeah.
And so I picked up this like weird memory foam cervical pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like got these grooves on the side that I can put my arms over my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really weird, but I've had the first good nights of sleep I have in the longest time.
Well, sleep is amazing.
Yes, it is. It's nice not waking up in the middle of the night going, ah.
And also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
Great. Have a good week.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right.
Do a whole lot.
All right. Well, we'll talk about games that you played and all that good stuff a little later. But for now, I want to jump right into our kickoff topic tonight because it's been quite the week in the gaming news world, hasn't it?
Can I give it a name?
What, the name of the week or the name of the story or what?
The name of the whole thing. Fuckery.
Honestly, not a bad word for it.
Shenanigans.
I don't know what to say. It's been a weird week. Okay, so here's the deal. I know many of you that subscribe to gaming podcasts and the like and watch streams on Twitch probably stay somewhat afloat on gaming news. So I don't like to think that I'm reporting the news here at Orange Lounge Radio, but we definitely want to discuss it with those of you guys in chat. Because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern every Sunday night, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. So I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this already. You've heard one thing or another. If you didn't hear it in the gaming blogs or social media or what have you, you probably heard about it maybe in some mainstream news because that is how big this story has gotten. This story had senators from the United States commenting on it. It's that big a deal. What am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about this situation with Blizzard and the player that they banned. So Blizzard, of course, as you probably know, suspended one of their competitive players after a Hearthstone competition. The name of the player, Blitzchung, is kind of the online handle of the player. And he was in a Grandmasters Asia Pacific post-match interview. And as he was kind of wrapping up the interview and said goodnight, goodbye, that type of thing, he said, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our age." Now, if you don't know what's going on in the world at large, there's a lot of protests going on in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was under British rule for quite some time up until, and I'm going to get the year wrong, but it was about 10, 15 years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't know the year off the top
of my head. It was, I think, more recent than that.
Was it?
I think, but definitely within the last decade.
Well, see, here's what comes to mind. So you guys,
double check.
I'd say you guys here in studio, not you guys out there, but you guys remember my ex was from Hong Kong, right? So a big reason why I think his family kind of relocated was because of that handoff that was coming up. So it handed off from British rule to Chinese rule. Long story short, and I am greatly simplifying things, and I apologize.
1997, so my bad.
Okay, so it was about 20 years. and so I'm greatly simplifying things, so I apologize, but I do, you know, I do want to get through the show tonight. People in Hong Kong don't necessarily want to be under Chinese rule anymore. So the people of Hong Kong are kind of speaking up and they would like to kind of be their own, you know, country, basically. I'm really, really simplifying a lot of things. So please don't feel the need to call me out because I'm openly admitting I'm taking some shortcuts here. But that has people voicing, you know, obviously their opposition to wanting to stay a part of China and wanting to be liberated. As you can imagine, this is very controversial within China. If you want to go back 20 years, now, I don't know about you guys or our folks that are listening, but I remember, do you guys remember when they were having those Free Tibet concerts?
Yes.
The Tibetan freedom stuff? That was kind of an issue where Tibet, also under Chinese rule, like it was almost like kind of a similar-ish, and again, I'm greatly simplifying, type of thing there. So, you know, China has controversy. China doesn't have things like the First Amendment, for example. right? We have the freedom of speech. And if I want to sit here and say, Donald Trump sucks donkey dick, I can say that because the First Amendment would protect me because I can openly criticize the president. And I may or may not have done that a few times on this very program, right? China, you don't have such freedoms, right? And we kind of know that the internet is locked down a lot in China as well, right? There's a lot of websites and a lot of things you can't access in China. I would imagine Twitch is probably one of those websites. I don't know that for a fact, but I can only imagine because Twitch has open speech running rampantly, it's likely a website that they probably don't care for in China. So anyway, that's a little bit of the oversimplified history lesson as to why would somebody want to say this on a live stream? Why would somebody want to go here? And why is this such a hot button political issue? Because there are many individuals in Hong Kong who don't want to be under Chinese rule anymore. China feels very differently about the issue. Okay? So, what happened after this? The stream went to an ad break very quickly, and there was some harsh punishments dealt by Blizzard. Blizzard mentioned that Blizz Chung violated Section 6.1 of the competition rules, which say that players cannot engage in any act that, quote, brings you into public disrepute, offends a portion or group of the public, or otherwise damages Blizzard image. And so what was the punishment? Removal from the Grandmasters, surrendering of the prize money, all of it, and the two presenters, even though they quickly kind of did this whole, like, they want to cover their faces, like, they know what he just said is like, oh, shit. They're like, and they cut quickly to a commercial. Blizzard immediately ceased working with both of those casters as well. And this left a lot of people going, wow, does the punishment fit the crime? I don't know about that. And a lot of people were left very confused and very angry because there's a lot of people out there who also say if the people of Hong Kong want to be free, then they ought to have a conversation about being free. That's the way many, many, many people feel out there. Now, here's the thing. Now I'm starting to interject some of my personal opinions here. I can understand if Blizzard wants their competitors to not say controversial political statements about anything because they don't want to drag their game into, you know, politics. It's really hard when you're competing in a worldwide market because not every country functions the same way. I get that. As part of follow-up to this, you might have heard Riot Games basically has begged their professional players, please do not bring up politics. Riot Games is also owned by Tencent, a Chinese company, but I digress. Okay? They have asked their players, please do not bring up these controversial political issues on stream. So I can understand if you signed a contract as a player, whether it's fair or not, if you signed a contract as a player that says you will not talk about controversial political statements and you do, then okay, I understand why Blizzard felt the need to retaliate a little bit. But I ask again, does the punishment fit the crime? Because I'm not sure it did. And I think that's where a lot of people were left confused.
What I really don't understand is how the casters are responsible for that when they're just giving the interview. And
that's a regular thing, though, in old school communist governments. I mean, really, it is. It's standard. It's MO.
Yeah. So where are we at now? So, I mean, again, I'm sure a lot of you are sitting there going, but Blizzard has put out a statement. Yes. So after several days, and this is the part.
And a lot of money lost, I'm sure.
This is the part that blew my mind. It took them, this happened on Monday, right? It took them 5 days. Friday, 5:30 Pacific or 8:30 Eastern. Like, that's the time when the throwaway news comes out. Friday at 5:30, Blizzard releases a statement. And Blizzard says, we're listening. This decision was not influenced by China and our relationships with China.
Right. Bullshit.
Because many people out there were accusing Blizzard of, you are up China's ass so much and you don't want to lose their business that you threw the baby out with the bathwater with not only this player but the two broadcasters. And I gotta admit, for me, the two broadcasters were the part where I was like, give me a fucking break. They did not deserve that punishment.
That's still though MO for countries like China.
Exactly. And I think that's why many of us here in America, because we have a different view on things because of, you know, we have the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and so forth, we're kind of sitting there going, this is not indicative of what our country would do. And while you might argue, well, but it's a worldwide market, this is an Asia term, Blizzard's still an American company, right? So I think that's why there's a lot of people that feel very strongly still about this. So after, what, 4 or 5 long days, and I couldn't believe it took this long, Blizzard puts out the statement, it's not China's thing. We're going to give the prize money back because under a follow-up consideration, it was determined that he didn't cheat. He won the competition fair and square, so why take away the prize money? Duh. This is the thing we should have – we asked you to – or that your player base kind of expected you to know at the beginning. You took away the money. Why? And we're going to reduce the suspension to 6 months. But then they went so far as to still say it was the broadcaster's responsibility to not let this conversation turn into politics and get political and whatever. They are still suspended for 6 months.
That's still garbage.
It's horrible.
This is still, I think, a lot of my theory as to why it took so long is that they were speaking with whoever their handlers were in China to make sure that they could do something in a way that wouldn't damage their business dealings in China.
I'm going to sort of say yes to that. I think it was legal departments that took it this long and all the legal hurdles, namely Activision's legal hurdle. This shit wouldn't happen under Mike Morhaime. I said it. This shit would not have happened under Mike Morhaime. And it wouldn't have happened when Activision wasn't in the picture. And it's so frustrating as somebody who's been like such an advocate of Blizzard games in the past and so forth, because it's like the Blizzard I know and love, this is the harsh reality. Like, you've kind of like seen it coming for a long time. Like, Activision bought Blizzard, and then it's like Call of Duty was in the launcher and all this other stuff. But it's like the harsh reality is Blizzard is not that like on your side as the player. They are not that – we are just like you guys and won a game and all this stuff. If last year's BlizzCon didn't make that very apparent, this whole scenario did. Because it's Activision's legal department, it's Tencent's legal department that made this thing take so goddamn long. So what do I think they should have done? Well, for one, this suspension should not have been as harsh as it was. I would have been okay if they said, you know what, Blitzchung, you signed a contract that said you would not get into politics because it makes things very complicated. We're trying to do things in a world market. So therefore, we're going to suspend you for 3 games and we're not doing any on-camera interviews with you for 6 months. I think that would have been more appropriate. Right? I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, because I can still understand Blizzard has to navigate tricky waters. Mm-hmm. I get it. But like, what they did was like way above and beyond.
I'd be honest. I mean, if it were up to me personally, like if I was the one who had to press the button, I would have been like, do nothing. Honestly, that's what should have been done in a protected world. However, you know, if anything, I think Chinese politics is the biggest thing to blame. That's it.
Oh, for sure. I don't mean to ignore you guys in chat. We just have a lot going on here. Questbuster in chat says, the apologies made to Western audiences and to China were also very different from each other. The one for China promised to uphold national dignity. Yeah, there was an interesting statement on a Chinese – is it Weibo? Weibo? I'm sorry. I don't know the name off the top of my head. But there's a Chinese social network out there. And
it's Weibo.
Weibo. Thank you. A account that is supposedly Blizzard's Chinese account made a very – pro-China statement. I don't know how else to summarize it. It was very like, you know, we're going to make these decisions that uphold national dignity and
because
things like that.
Of course they did.
It was kind of like, it was really a fuck you to everything that was going on over here with like the protests and people canceling their accounts. I know many longtime Blizzard fans that are like canceling their World of Warcraft accounts, including me. I uninstalled World of Warcraft today after I unsubbed about 2 days ago. You guys know I've been talking a lot about World of Warcraft Classic, and I've been talking about World of Warcraft on this show. I unsubbed. And I think a lot of it has to do with kind of that harsh reality that we're in, that Blizzard is now on the same level as EA. And I feel sorry. I'm processing a lot of information, as I think we all are, because it's so weird. Like, it's just a fucking game. But I think for many people, World of Warcraft, and in particular, and especially, you know, other certain things like Overwatch and BlizzCon stuff too, Blizzard has historically done a very good job building communities in these games. Like, people with their World of Warcraft guilds, like, that is family to some people, right? So it's so extraordinarily frustrating to watch that house that your family is residing in slowly get turned into a Starbucks. I don't know how else to describe.
I think even Starbucks has more user-friendly.
You know what I'm getting at, though.
Yeah.
It's the corporation coming in and transforming that.
It's like your mom and pop store being taken over by a Walmart.
That safe space is suddenly transforming. You know what I mean? And I feel really bad for people that have spent a lot of money to go to BlizzCon this year. Shit, the girls on this network at Girls Gone Wild, they're over in the UK. They're going to BlizzCon for the first time this year. And this shit has to go down. That is extraordinarily frustrating. And I'm not going to speak for them. They have their own show and they can talk about this or not talk about this, whatever they choose to do. But I can just look at people like that and people that are, you know, out there and, you know, playing this, and they want to go to BlizzCon, this event, because it's to see their families and to see the people that they play these games online with. And to have all this happen is so frustrating. And then I think about the various people I've met over the years that work for Blizzard. And yeah. I know several. And I can't speak for them either, and I'm not even about to try. But I can say, y'all seen those pictures online of the statue at Blizzard headquarters where it says every voice matters and it's covered up with paper by the employees who did that. And you can see the people standing around the statue, the employees, because you got to be an employee to get in there, with their umbrellas. And what's the umbrella a sign of? That's a symbol that goes with the Liberate Hong Kong movement. So while I can't speak for the people I know, I can let those pictures do the talking. And so I'm extraordinarily frustrated for them that this shit happens on an executive level. It's horrible what's happening. You're watching this company that you knew and loved so much just fall apart. And I know other people out there that are like, you know what? This doesn't bother me. I just want to play the game. I respect people's right to protest, but
I'm
not going to
protest. Probably the same people eating at Chick-fil-A.
Well, here's the thing. And you know what? You can choose what you do and you don't want to do, and that is absolutely fine, to be honest. But I think even somebody in that position could kind of recognize where it's very frustrating for a lot of us. You know what I mean? I can understand, you know, if you bought Overwatch, you want to get your money's worth and keep playing it. I get that, right? I mean, that seems reasonable to me. But I didn't see a need to continue paying a monthly fee for World of Warcraft anymore. And if I was going to get Overwatch on the Switch, I don't think I will now. I'll reevaluate my thinking in 6 months, since that's the time frame we've decided to settle on. That's where my head's at right now. Any comments from you guys before I go to chat?
I'm probably not going to re-up at all, ever. I had been considering it, and now I'm not. Although right now, I'm be honest, I'm not really going to re-up on any MMOs right now just because I don't have the time for it. But I had been floating it around in my head whether or not I wanted to, and this pretty much cinched it for me. I went in and uninstalled basically all my Blizzard games. I didn't uninstall WoW because I was using the WoW model viewer, but actually now I'm going to remove that because I am, and I have to apologize to Sidekick for this, but I'm not going to continue with the webcomic using the WoW models again. I'm not going to do it. I'm switching my directions because I don't want to give them any advertising. I don't want to support a company that's going to behave this way, because just because they do it once and then think 6 months from now people are going to forget about it, or, oh, we've changed this in 6 months, they're going to go back and do the same shit.
You know, there's already talks about protests at BlizzCon and all this stuff, but I want to be clear on something, because this is a really weird thing that's happening, because there are people. It's one of these weird or not, when we live in such a divisive world where we have, you know, folks on the left and folks on the right really going at each other, right? Folks on the left and folks on the right on Twitter kind of all seem to agree what Blizzard did was shitty. So it's weird that there's this agreement going on there. But some of those like shitty extreme Twitter people are now getting involved with this whole thing. And I just want to make very clear, it is not okay, period, to harass Blizzard employees, to harass Blizzard fans, to harass Blizzard content creators who decide that because they need to still make money to pay their rent, they're going to continue to create content. It is not okay to harass those people, period.
We've got that same thing going on with the PG&E. Some of the PG&E workers got murdered over something that was a decision over the company.
Oh my God, that is disgusting. That's disgusting. You know, and it's like, it is not their fault. So y'all, I know our OLR listeners and viewers are good enough to know better, but I just feel the need to say it. Like, it's not okay to harass the employees, okay? But it is okay to peacefully protest with signs so that you're seen. It is okay to peacefully protest with management. It is okay to do those types of things. And you know, if there's a peaceful protest that's going to go down at BlizzCon, but let the attendees in, because some of them came a long way and have paid a lot of money to have this be the year that Blizzard shit on.
I will tell you one thing, though, that does sort of break the purpose of a protest, is that civil disobedience in and of itself is meant to inconvenience the population into paying attention to an adverse situation. That's the whole point of it. That was why people, you know, here at Pride, why the protesters were making sort of a stockade around the event. It's because, you know, why people block, you know, the bridges in trying to protest for Black Lives Matter and many of the other charities out there, is the fact that you don't get the kind of attention and immediate action that happens as you get when you make it a inconvenience for other people. Especially today, we're way too distracted by our modern conveniences. How easy is it to say, oh, well, the world is terrible right now, I'm going to go play a game? Which is fine every so often, but when you cut yourself off from participating in things that even if they don't affect your life immediately, they're still going to affect people that you know. It still affects the world that you have to be a part of. And just pushing it away, I say, oh, they can do this peacefully where no one can see them, versus, no, they're going to be in your face and they're going to bring the attention to you.
The people that need to be inconvenienced are the executives. Do you want Raven and EJ to not be able to go to BlizzCon when they have waited years and years?
I'm not saying they can't go. You know, they're going to – the thing is that to do it legally, they're not going to be able to block any entrances and exits. So that's not going to be a problem, especially in a big place as where this is going to be. I mean, not a problem. I mean, even bringing that up is like that can't happen. But the thing that I'm saying is that if you inconvenience the people attending, it directly inconveniences the people making money off of them, because there's going to be complaints. There's going to be letters written. It's going to spawn more action.
I kind of think the action is going to really have to happen way before BlizzCon, quite frankly. Like, and I think, like, if we were to put our finger on why are we upset, like, let's put our finger clearly on that. Why are we mad at Blizzard? What's the why here? Because for me, it was obviously the original action was way too extreme. That's part of it. But for me, like, what really broke the camel's back for me was how long it took them to respond to that. It was straight up disrespectful, in my opinion.
There are two statements here in chat that I agree with.
Sure.
SSJ100 Matt says, Blizzard is going to look at the week one sales of Overwatch Switch to see if players really do care about the issue. And then ActDeft says, Blizzard will still exist and it won't go under anytime soon. But what we do to support the Free Hong Kong movement will speak louder than any words or statement we make. And that's a big thing, actually, that I'd really like to see happen, is that while people are taking their money away from Blizzard and hitting them in the pocketbook, you know, the big place that counts, we also need to be putting, you know, if we're taking those resources from Blizzard, why don't we put those resources into a charity that supports the things that Blizzard seems to be trying to squash, even if it's just indirectly? You know, why don't we put that support in with Free Hong Kong? Why don't we help them with protesting efforts? Why don't we help them with the materials that they need to continue to fight for their freedom? you know, especially coming from people in America where that's pretty much, we were raised on being so completely religiously stupid that we have to oppress all other religions, and out of saying fuck you to other government powers. So why can't we at least help them with the fuck you part? Just saying.
I would super agree that the most effective thing you can do is to stop giving Blizzard money if you disagree. You know, cancel your WoW accounts. Don't buy Overwatch on Switch. And those are the things that I plan to do for a little while we wait and see, you know, what Blizzard's going to do.
Remember, the physical version of Overwatch on the Switch is actually just a download code. So just, you know, but you get a box.
And there was a comment as to the week one commentary, or, you know, the thing is that the majority of people who are going to get it will get it week one. And that's where the bulk of the sales for any kind of game, movie, entertainment comes out. That's when it happens. That and Black Friday or Cyber Monday. You know, that's going to be the benchmark for if people do care about it. Because if it's something that they care about, why not? Why aren't they going to get it day one? It's digital. Why wait? If they want it, they're going to get it. And I think that we need to, you know, make sure that people really do, if they hate what Blizzard's doing, they need to have some integrity and stick to it. You know, and I know that we brought up other boycotts, you know, and some of them are like, oh, well, this is a minor thing. It's not going to really affect the whole thing. But like in the case of, I'm just going to use this as an example, in Chick-fil-A, it was recently discovered that they were funding missionaries who are going over and working with governments that are setting up executions for gay people. On file. You know, do you want to fund that kind of thing? Do you want to contribute to this? If the answer is no, then you don't eat there anymore. Or, you know, with Blizzard, if you don't want to fund them, you know, just completely giving in to the dictates of China, then you don't support them anymore. You don't support this activity. You don't support these business practices. If you don't like if you don't support, like, for example, what GOP is doing, you don't vote for them. You don't support businesses that contribute to that. You know, I'm saying that way you put your money where your integrity is.
But where do we draw the line? Because I feel like you can have a reason to boycott everything. I mean, in this same bucket, people are talking about they're mad at Apple because Apple shut down an app where Hong Kong protesters were using it to know where police were. Tiffany and Company had an advertisement where it looked like a woman was covering her eye, and the China government found that offensive. So Tiffany and Company had to pull that ad. And there's more examples of this too, specifically with the China and Hong Kong issue. So my point is, like, where do you draw the line? Because I feel like, for me with Blizzard specifically, I think it's because you have this very kind of like tangible punishment type of thing that happened, and you have this big shift in a company that you've supported for so long that's kind of happened. And I think that's why this one, I feel like I really want to do something about this particular one.
I think in cases like for, you know, if it's something like an app, you do have to do with international legalities. There's apps that we can't put out in the U.S., for example, for any service because they break federal law. You know, I think that's a completely different story than going in for an active punishment of a person for using their voice. That's a completely different scenario.
So but you have to kind of pick and choose for you.
Not necessarily for me. I have to look at the big picture. You know, if you are dealing with, you know, say that you have X bad thing happen in one country, but say you have them doing different things in other places to offset it. You know, for Blizzard, this was a completely punitive action that they took against a party that went above and beyond what should have been done. And the fact that they're defending their actions is also a completely different story too. We have something more actively showing the culture of the company. In something like the app, for example, when you are also though dealing with a company that donates to organizations that are going for international, you know, freedom attempts, freedom of speech, healthcare, that's a completely different story. It doesn't mean that all things that China does are great, it means, yeah, our hand is tight on this one, but we're doing other things to offset it. You know, for example, if you're dealing with, you know, a company that's out there actively trying to, you know, end an entire group of people across the world, yeah, giving children books is going to be very small potatoes in regards to what could end up being seen very well as close to, I'll put it this way, just Nazi actions, you know, killing entire groups of people. What we have going on in Syria right now is absolutely horrendous, and it's along those same lines. It's an active, punitive action that is killing other people.
To try to wrap this all up and move on to other topics from the week, because there has been other gaming news this week, isn't it interesting how, you know, I think there's been folks that's been critical of this program in the past, you know, you and me specifically, because gaming and politics shouldn't mix type of thing. Keep the political talk off the gaming podcast. But isn't it funny that here we are now where it's like we don't have a choice. We have to talk about it because it's impacting the industry like big time. So it's kind of like you have to be aware of this stuff and, you know, make your decisions and so forth. It's just interesting to me that it's like because Blizzard deals in international markets and so forth, I get it. They have to walk a fine line. I do understand that. But isn't it interesting that, you know, now there's a lot of gamers that are talking about politics essentially in the fact that we sort of feel that this punishment didn't fit the crime for just speaking out on how many people in the country of Hong Kong feel. So, anyhow, I was looking for some other comments in chat. So they're kind of talking, let's see, Sia Tiberi in chat is kind of talking about the, you know, boycotting a lot of different things. There's an episode of the show, Adam Ruins Everything. It's a show I've never seen, to be honest. I've heard
I
a
love
lot
that
about
show.
It, that talks about that for a little bit called Adam Ruins a Plate of Nachos, which I think is the whole, like, you know, every company that contributed to the nachos is trash type of thing. So
there are some things on that show that are factually incorrect. So I'm just going to leave it there.
You know how you ruin a plate of nachos? You put olives in it.
I love olives. Fuck, get out of here. I'm just kidding. Actually, you've been rather quiet this little segment. How are you doing? Well, you don't really play Blizzard games.
Exactly. I'm not affected by this.
Where's your head at? What are you thinking and hearing about all this?
I don't play any of these games, so it's fine. No, I have Overwatch. I haven't played it though for a few years, so I mean, I don't know. I don't have time for an MMO, so that it's not like I would quit it for political reasons, but I just don't have time. So I mean, the fact that Activision Blizzard's doing something shitty, well, hello, it's a day of the week, so I mean, just remember, Call of Duty's right around the corner. You get your whole nother fill of Activision Blizzard doing shitty stuff.
Some other comments from chat. Captain Spike says, Rob, you're gay. Everything you do touches the political. Yeah, fair. And Bobby Blackwolf says, surprisingly, no talk about the gay guild's name banned. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me, because that was a thing, too. That was, honestly, it was one of those things where it was like I was already mad at this other thing. It was like when I heard about this gay guild name getting banned type thing, I was just like, what else do we want to throw on the fire? Let's just, you know, and another one. Why not? Let's do the airing of the grievances, shall we? Like, it's just, but if you didn't hear, I think it was in WoW Classic, there was a guild name called Gay Boys. So many people reported it that the gay name got stripped. Now, in the essence of fairness, it was restored. But it does go a long way in talking about why are these automated things? Why is it automated? Why isn't it looked at by somebody? Because by doing an action like that, it makes it look like you endorse it, whether you really do as a company or not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Quite honestly, again, you're so mad about the one thing. It's like, this just add that to the fire. Unlike any other week, I probably would have been like, well, that was a bad look, but at least they made it right, and maybe they'll learn something in the future. But this week, it was like, fuck them. It's hard. It's difficult. It sucks. To use the analogy that I use all of the time on this program when we're talking about how can you love video games and love gaming companies yet be so critical of them? It's like Tyra Banks infamously did on that season of America's Next Top Model, where she yells, "Be quiet, Tiffany! We were rooting for you! We were all rooting for you! How dare you!" And that, quite essentially, sums up how I feel about this whole situation with Blizzard. Let's see. Going to some other comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Questbuster says Blizzard just keeps throwing logs on that fire. Slidekick says, let's start a guild in another game called Gay Boys. You know, it's funny. Like, I've gotten like two people sending me private messages asking me, like, so how do I sign up for Final Fantasy 14? And I don't know if like Final Fantasy 14 necessarily wants to just, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I realize what I'm saying. They don't want to get all this business because of what's happening with Blizzard. But what I'm trying to say is that I think Square Enix would quite frankly like to stay out of this issue. But the reality is Final Fantasy 14 and WoW have a lot in common. So there's a lot of people that are like, well, now's a good time to go look at Final Fantasy 14.
Now's a good time to go play Fortnite. Oh, wait.
Well, it's funny because actually, since you bring up Epic was one of those companies. It felt a little bit opportunistic, a little bit, especially for a company that also has holdings in held by Tencent. But it was a little weird that they came out and said, well, we wouldn't punish players for what they believe in. Nobody asked you, Tim Sweeney. Sit the fuck down. Have a seat.
I made my own comment back.
God, shut up.
I was pretty much like, let me know when you're actually treating your employees better.
Let me know when you actually have a shopping cart.
Like, yeah, go seriously, go worry about your own shit. No one asked you, Tim. No one asked. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf says, Tim Sweeney, opportunistic on Twitter? Say it ain't so. Yeah, pretty much. SSJ100 Matt says, here's the moment Rob is talking about. I love that it's bookmarked on YouTube. Yes, it should. There is definitely like a reality television Bible that you should assemble on YouTube. Let's see. We should definitely have that would be in there. There would be a whole book of New York where you would have the good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Not you. You can choke. Let's see. What else would be in the – anyway, there's a lot of things that would be in there. There would be a whole book of Drag Race as well. Absolutely.
My wife would like to add, I'm not doing this with him today.
Well, what you want to do isn't necessarily what you're going to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you. There would be a whole chapter one, verse one of the book of Drag Race. I ain't never had a sugar daddy. If I wanted a sugar daddy, yes, I could go out and get one because I am what, bitch? Sickening. You could never have a sugar daddy because you are not that kind of girl. Anyway, now I'm getting off topic. But the reality is these monologues, they shift our thoughts and feelings.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes. Thank you, Slidekick. Yes. The classic Whitney, kiss my ass. That is also, oh, yeah, yes, classic.
Oh, yeah, the book of being Bobby Brown.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, moving on. I'm glad we could end it on some laughs. Let's move on to a less serious topic, our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So let's talk about our gaming weeks. Darksakura, how was your gaming week?
I'm still waiting for Detroit Become Human to come out on PC. Of course, I'm going to be replacing my PC at the end of the year, so I have to play it quick.
I thought it was on the Epic Store.
No, it's still pre-order. Waiting.
I don't know if I'd want the city of Detroit becoming human.
Stop it.
The game's great. I've been playing Pinball Wizard on Apple Arcade, and it really annoyed me at first, but now I actually super like it. I also started Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is
love that game.
So great. I want the soundtrack for it, like, so much. Like, I love that rendition of Clair de Lune from the first level.
It's on Spotify, and I imagine if it's there, it's got to be on Apple Music and all the other ones, too.
Yeah. I was also, hold on, let me look at it again, because I, you know, of course I was playing my, I'm going to be quitting the Ragnarok game, but I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing because I just want Animal Crossing to be out. I also started Hexaflip, which is another interesting little puzzler. Yeah, I still don't like Various Day Life. I gave it one more try and I still don't like it. So that's pretty much what I've been playing.
All right. We'll move on to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I played Borderlands 3, so I played quite a bit of that, and that's pretty much it. It's really just Borderlands, because I've been trying to finish it. It's good. Enjoying it. It's more Borderlands. You know, so.
It's more Borderlands.
More of Borderlands.
Did you start over again? Cause I, know
I have not started over because I haven't actually finished the first time through. I don't know where I'm at yet. I think I'm like 60% through the game. But it's good. I mean, I think that they oversold the diversity of their because one of the things they talked about was like, oh, yeah, there's so many different planets and it's all very diverse and stuff. I was like, I kind of remember all this stuff from Borderlands 2. This all looks very similar. It's just now it's on different planets. And I don't know. It's still good, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like all the old characters coming back as well. That's kind of a thing that they did in Borderlands 2 as well. So, yeah, I'm digging it. I actually sat through, because I haven't played through the pre-sequel or Tales from Borderlands, so like some of the characters, I didn't know who they were. So I went through YouTube and watched like kind of like, here's all the things you need to know before you play Borderlands 2 or 3. You know, so I got caught up on what the pre-sequel was. And so I didn't need to go back and play the pre-sequel because that looks pretty good. So there's that, and then I worked on my game some. I'm going to work on a lot this week, so it'll be good.
Awesome. My gaming week. I had kind of a busy gaming week. I actually spent most of my gaming week on the cell phone game I've talked a lot about on this show, Ingress. So you might see my shirt. I'm wearing kind of an interesting shirt today. It says Umbra Sacramento, Epicenter of Enlightenment. So this was like our team merchandise or swag supporting this weekend's Anomaly event. So Ingress, which is a game, of course, by the people who did Pokemon Go. It's where all of the Pokestops and all that come from. Although... not on our show roll tonight, but they replaced Operation Portal Recon with a site called Niantic Wayfarer, which in many ways is great because now you can pick what submissions get prioritized and so forth. But here's the thing about Wayfarer. It's not Ingress art. It's mixed art, like Pokemon goes in there too, which you can infer they're going to open up OPR and that type of stuff, or now it's Wayfarer. They're going to open that up for Pokemon Go players eventually, so it'll be interesting.
Well, good. I can resubmit the stuff that I've sent because I haven't heard anything since May. And
you should log in to Wayfarer because if you haven't heard anything, it may have actually been rejected, or maybe it was even approved and you never got an email, because you can go back and look at all your old submissions now. Finally, that's the thing you can do.
Well,
so yeah, you should check that out.
I'll have to do that now.
Yeah, do that. So anyway, but I digress a little bit. But Ingress was the original kind of player versus player, resistance versus enlightenment game where a lot of that those landmarks came from. So to try to make a long story short, there was a kind of a tournament, a big event, sort of like maybe like Go Fest in Chicago, except remember that like Ingress probably has like 1% of the player base, if that, of Pokemon Go. But they had it in Sacramento, was the West Coast. So there were three events in the Americas this weekend. At least unlike Pokemon Go, they do multiple cities. So this weekend there were events in Sacramento on the West Coast, Brooklyn, New York, on the East Coast, had also was yesterday. And in the middle was actually Guadalajara in Mexico. So those were kind of the three sites that went yesterday. So what happened is that members from the Resistance and members from the Enlightened all kind of converge. And they do a live battle for 3 hours, which consisted of, this time it was about who can control portals during certain measurements, who can make the longest link pathing between the portals at certain measurement times, who could get the most unique portal hacks. And then there was a cipher game that's kind of like an escape room type of thing, that you – like the decoder game that was worth bonus points. So my team won, yay, because I play on the Enlightenment, the green side, and we did a great job. And to give you an idea about how many people – I don't have any official numbers. Niantic doesn't give official numbers. I don't know how many people were registered or whatever. But people that were watching the map and all the little like players that would come up said it was about 300 players on the green team, 200 players on the blue team were here. So there are about 500 players actively playing in the Anomaly this week. So that's a pretty decent turnout for something like that. And I know there was at least one girl on our team from Taiwan who was here. And there was a couple from, like, I think there was one from Sweden. So we had some visitors that came a long way to play. So that was fun. But there was a lot of prep that went into that, as you can imagine, when it comes to things like strategy and how that's all going
to
work.
I had to work.
Yeah, a lot of my week was focused on that. So that was all yesterday. And then today was kind of the cool down mission day. All factions can do it together. It's an individual thing type of thing.
Apparently mine's still in queue.
Oh, yours. Oh, so you're
still
okay,
in queue.
At least you know.
I did withdraw the other one, but it's still in queue. And they have this upgrade next thing, so I went ahead and did that. I don't know what that's going to do.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. I was looking at some of the comments in chat. ACDEF said, yeah, there's talks about a POGO event next year in Mexico, considering they've done some already in Ingress. Yeah, so and Guadalajara is not the only city they've done in Mexico. I mean, I think they've done one in they had to have done one in Mexico City. I think there was one last year, and so on. I mean, these events are all – I missed an OLR last year because I went to one of these in Chicago. So I've traveled for these myself, and they're fun. But I walked 23,000 steps yesterday. I was very sore and very tired, and I might be coming down with a cold as a result. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that. It wasn't just Ingress, though, that I was playing this week. I also played – so, you know, the whole – I've been playing some Final Fantasy XIV. I was playing WoW and WoW Classic, but with everything that happened, I've just decided, you know what? I've been talking about that I kind of need to play less MMOs and catch up on my backlog anyway. So I canceled WoW. We already talked about that. But it finally made me get to my backlog, or actually I should say a new game I added to my backlog because it was on sale on PlayStation 4 for only $15. So I finally installed and started playing Horizon Zero Dawn, the complete edition.
I have a copy of that I'm borrowing.
You should check it out if you haven't yet. It's okay. The thing is, I know you are not the big fan of using like controllers because of your wrist and so forth. And there is like stealthy stuff and so forth. But the game also, one thing right off the bat you should know is that the game has 5 difficulty levels. Or maybe it's 6, but I think it's 5. So normal is kind of like the middle one. So I'm playing on easy mode, which is one step lower. Well, they have a Bobby Black Wolf mode in the game. They have one that's called story, where it's like you don't even have to worry about fighting at all. And that might be, you know, if you just want to experience the story and so forth, that might be a way to do it without worrying about, you know, the controllers and all that stuff. I'm playing it on easy just because I want to get a feel for the game mechanics, but I want to get through the story and experience the game and get to my next game in the backlog. If I like it a lot, then I'll go back and do it on hard or what have you. And I got to say, so far, I mean, I'm not that far in the game. I got through the tutorial stages, and I'm in the a little bit after that. You know, I don't want to say too much, but I'm like level 5, so I'm very early on still, but I'm really into it. I will say this right off the bat. The game is fucking gorgeous. It is a gorgeous fucking game. Like, just going through, and I don't even have a 4K TV or an HDR capable TV. And like, if I had that stuff, it would probably be even more good looking. But I've just been going through on my cheap old 1080p TV, playing on my PlayStation 4 Pro, and it looks great. I didn't realize there was like an element of like kind of like electronics. So it's like you're out in this big, beautiful world, but you have this little scanner device that makes like purple electronic lines type of stuff show up, and you can scan. There's a lot of like Metroid Prime-esque type of scanning that goes on that can give you some insight into story and things like that. And it looks really good. Like, I thought the whole game was like outdoors, but no, there's some areas where you go indoors and it's kind of creepy, and you see some caves where bats fly out. Yeah, it's just a really, really good looking game. And so far, the story is like really, yeah, I'm into it. So I may have yet again slept on a game I really should have started playing about a year and a half ago. But what else is new? That happens sometimes, right? So, excuse me, looking at some other comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Questbuster says, love that game. Aloy is the best. Yeah, the heroine of the story, definitely they are molding her to be a big character that would most assuredly be in the next Sony PlayStation All-Stars if they do a game like that. That's for sure. Captain Spike says, OMG, same, Rob. Recent play. So nice. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pele Hanumea says, I hope Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is a PlayStation 5 launch title. I don't know if it would be a launch title, but I there's got to be a Horizon Zero Dawn 2 in the making. There really has to be. It seems like a lot of people who have played this game are really into it. And I want to keep playing it. It's if you don't know like the type of game it is, it's really like old world – or excuse me, it's like exploration. A lot of like you do the quest to go from one place to another. You may have to hunt monsters. And you can do it stealthy, and the game rewards you with more XP if you like learn how to hide in the bush and like scan the enemy for the weak point and shoot an arrow at it. But there's skills that can help you. Like there's a skill that I bought that slows down time and zooms in. So it's really easy to get a shot on an eye or something like that. And honestly, I imagine if you're playing in Bobby Black Wolf mode, you don't even have to worry about the stealth. You just go in there with your spear and chop them up. And it'll be fine.
Poke them in the face.
Exactly. Because that's like if I fail and I miss and the thing charges at me, I just swing wildly with my spear and it usually ends up dead anyway. So it works. Bobby says you do still have to do stealth. Yes, you do still. I mean, in the tutorials, you have to do stealth. I don't know. In the game so far, I imagine in some story elements, there may be some forced stealth. But I'm not so sure. If you were to play this game in its easiest mode, the story mode, it probably isn't going to give a shit. You can probably just go in there and hack and slash mobs because they're not really going to be able to kill you.
Questbuster brought up something I think I would enjoy.
What's that?
Using tripwire.
Oh, yeah. I just got that. I went to the guy and got like a trip. So you set up a tripwire because you scan and you can see the path that they take. And you set up a tripwire so that way when it comes and it hits the tripwire, it goes and it just collapses and you can shoot it in the face. It's great. I know. It's very rewarding.
That sounds like so fun.
Dark Sakura, it's not just any tripwire. It's a shock tripwire. So they trip and they get electrocuted.
Can you also have it where it like shoots a spike into their face?
There are other types. I think there's like a flaming tripwire and there's just all.
You got me at flaming tripwire, Rob.
There's flaming arrows too.
You got me at fire.
Literally the first quest in the game is to make fire arrows. You might have to check it out.
See? Yeah, I think it's time to hook up the PS4 again.
There you go.
Or at least get the dust off of it.
Yeah. Questbuster says, stealth is really simplistic in this one. It's not on Splinter Cell levels of tough. No, I didn't think it was that bad. No. And I don't like stealth, usually.
Although, I'll be honest, I have been getting my streaming set up together so I can play I Love You, Colonel Sanders. It's just I had to upgrade my operating system first to be able to do that. 6 fucking hours. You know how long it took to upgrade my Mac? 45 minutes?
Yeah, but then when you find out your apps aren't compatible on Mac, it takes you a little longer, just so you know. Just to warn. Same thing can happen on Windows.
Well, too. I haven't updated my MacBook Pro, but my iMac's updated. So.
All right. Anyway, let's see. I want to move on. So that was enough for our game of the week. A little bit of housekeeping. We will not be here live next week. I have a work trip that I need to do. And work gets number one preference. Sorry, guys. Day job is the thing that pays me to be able to do this show. So we won't be here live on Sunday night. However, we're going to try to record during the week, but our schedules are a little complicated, so I can't promise it right now. But we're going to try to record something for you guys. I'll have an update on our Twitter over at twitter.com/OLR. So just a heads up there. But if you're on the podcast and you don't see a new show come in next week, we weren't able to get around and record something. So sorry about that. But you can always show up for Mr. Bobby Blackwolf, who is here live at the Voice Geeks Network right before us on Sunday nights. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into some gaming news. We've talked a lot about other stuff. Let's get into what else has been going on in the gaming industry this week. So, Loki.
Let's talk about this next Sony console that is going to be named PlayStation 5.
You know what's funny? Last week on the show, remember we did that whole thing about Sean Layden leaving and like, yeah. What could that mean? And I sat here and I said, well, maybe they're going to go in this radical new direction for the Sony PlayStation.
Never.
And they're not going to call it the 5. It's going to be the PlayStation. Well, can't win them all. I love that the very next day, Gabe came out and said, no, bitch, it's PlayStation 5. All right.
So,
can't
yeah.
win them all.
So they basically put out, they had an interview with Wired and also put out some stuff regarding the next console. So it is going to be the PlayStation 5. It's going to be out holiday 2020. Not a big surprise there. They said that the console will have a solid-state drive, and they said games released on it will be 100-gigabyte Blu-ray discs. It will have a 4K Blu-ray drive. I hope that means 4K video as well, because if you remember, the current PlayStation 4 Pros.
I'm thinking Sony's going to get that right. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? Sony probably also wants to talk about digital. Because I would think they want to talk less about the discs and more about the digital. But clearly,
well, I
can't mind read Sony anymore.
I don't want to download a 20-gigabyte video file. No thanks. They said that the games will need to be installed from the disc. I mean, it makes sense because you're talking like huge games. They're talking a little bit about how that the new PlayStation 5 controller is going to be similar to the PlayStation 4 controller, but they're going to be improving things like haptics in there as well. And they have this adaptive trigger. So what that means is that there'll be variable resistance on the trigger when you're pulling it down. So you may have like different things, for example. It's like kind of like, if you remember, like, the old driving games in arcades and stuff like that, where they had some, you know, resistance on the steering wheel, some games had that. It's like that, but with the triggers.
So your game can now fight back.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
I mean, the controller's not going to punch you in the face, but it can make it a little harder to actually, like, pull the trigger.
So when, like, you're choking a bitch in, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, then you squeeze, and eventually you'll feel the neck snap, and it'll just give away. So...
just go on.
And then, of course, along with that, you'll have the additional haptics to feel all the bones breaking. And so... they said other things. It sounds like the HD Rumble or whatever that they have. I'm not really sure how they're going to do additional haptics aside from, I guess, changing the way they do the Rumble altogether, kind of like how they did it with the Switch Joy-Cons. But they said some things that you'll be able to, like, for example, check out. They had a demo, I guess, of Astrobot Rescue Mission. They said on ice, it made the thumbsticks feel like my character was gliding or jumping in a pool. And they said there was some resistance on the water, on a wooden bridge, a bouncy sensation. So, interesting. And they said the thumbsticks, I guess, there was resistance. I wonder if they're talking about resistance on those as well, aside from the triggers. Interesting. So then other stuff, I don't know. They've got some new, Blue Point Games is going to be working on some new games right now. They said, we're working on a big one right now. I'll let you figure out the rest. And then they said that their primary focus on the new controller is, I guess their primary focus is that new controller. There was some other stuff that came out. I don't know if we're going to be talking about it necessarily. No. So there is some other patents. We may have talked about this last week. Of PlayStation VR stuff. That there may be a new version of PlayStation VR that's going to be launching with the PlayStation 5 as well. So we'll have to check that out and see if that's a thing.
So, I mean, what do you think of this news? I mean,
that sounds good. Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see what how that translates into the gameplay because I mean honestly at this point like you can push graphics but not every game really needs those graphics pushed. I want to see what you're going to do to improve the gameplay of these games, and I'm curious to see how this haptic stuff feeds into it because that'd be pretty cool. I mean, just don't make the controllers like $80 each, but you know, I'm interested to see where they go with that because some things worked, some things didn't work. Like, I don't know about the touchpad that's on the PlayStation 4 controller. Maybe that was kind of a not really working out thing, but some other stuff, I don't know.
I'm kind of with you. It's like, it sounds really neat. Now show me what it can do. Right. But I realize, you know, a random day in October 2019 is not really when they are going to do a big unveiling for the next console. This is the type of thing that we have to wait for the next E3 or probably Sony's own event.
But that also gets me excited about, like, you know, with additional haptics in the DualShock controller, what about additional haptics in a new VR controller? And that might be pretty cool too.
Yeah, like that. Like, I like the haptic type of stuff, like especially like on my phone in gaming, because the phones have the haptic stuff in it. Like, you know, the little like haptic stuff that happens like in Ingress, for example. Like when people are attacking near me, you actually feel a little bloop, like a little haptic like shake. In your phone. It's really cool. Like, I like it. Yeah. And when you're glyphing, you can feel, you know, and obviously other games have it too. Like, you know, I like the haptic stuff, and I'm curious what it's going to do more for the console gaming.
Yeah.
So, but now it's just a matter of, okay, so what are the games that are going to use these features? But, you know.
And then one feature that
we'll
is.
We'll see when it's.
Going away, I guess, that is maybe not a big deal to some people because they may have not used it, but. The integration with PlayStation 4 and Facebook is going to be going away as well. Basically saying that we're working with Facebook, of course, is working with Sony to finalize an updated contract designed to improve the Facebook integration with PlayStation. While these discussions are in progress, Facebook features will be not available on PlayStation 4.
And it's already gone. Which is kind of surprising. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of like the Facebook integration, which is weird because there's a lot about Facebook I don't like. But it did make it very easy to find my friends who are also on PlayStation and very, very easy to just be like, oh, I don't know this person by their username, so we can just exchange the real names and that whole thing. Or my real name.
That was probably
Facebook.
The only thing I used with that. But I know that they were talking about other things like, you know, sharing screenshots, videos, music, trophy details and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or links to gameplay broadcasts. But I really only use it for the friends stuff. But
yeah, no, you can do all the sharing, just like you can share to Twitter, like the videos and all that stuff. Or I shared a screenshot from Horizon Zero Dawn, like either earlier today or yesterday, to Twitter. I could have done that to Facebook.
Yeah.
But I just figure the people that follow me on Facebook don't really probably care about all of my gaming updates. Most of the people on Twitter probably don't either, but too bad. I don't know. Twitter feels like the easier place for those like shorter updates, whereas things on Facebook get kind of lost. I don't know. It's still a little weird to me that it went away. I'd kind of like to know more of the reasons why behind it. Like, was there some type of agreement that fell through? Does Sony plan to build their own type of social network? Like, what? But if that was the case, well, then they would get rid of the Twitter functionality and that stuff too. So I'm kind of not sure like what's all going on. My first thought was maybe Facebook made it harder. Maybe Facebook did something to this. But no, you could still have Facebook integration on the Switch. You can find your friends on Nintendo Switch through Facebook. I don't know what's up.
I'll be honest, I never used any features like that. So for me, it's kind of a no deal. I guess some people like it. I'm personally trying to get myself off Facebook as often as I can, which is why there's been an increase in me using Twitter lately. So
yeah. Slykick in chat says, did you talk about the biggest news of the recent week, which was Galarian Ponyta? Since I brought up Nintendo Switch.
Says the one who just changed their Facebook, not their Facebook, but Twitter name.
Yeah.
So.
We did not bring it up yet on the show, but I will take this opportunity to mention it does look cute. As if I wasn't going to buy Pokemon Sword and or Shield anyway. I just keep
thinking of Galarians.
I was going to get Pokemon Shield anyway.
Like with heads exploding.
Now it's just doubly so that I'm going to get Pokemon Shield. So, yeah, Slykick says, as someone who had committed to S.H.I.E.L.D. months ago, I couldn't be happier. Same. That's the same boat I'm in. SSG100 Matt, I love this. SSG100 Matt in chat says, tinfoil hat, maybe Facebook is going to have a deal with Microsoft. Bum, bum, bum. But at the same...
No.
No, here's why, because they're still in with Nintendo Switch. Would Nintendo Switch have to get rid of it, too?
I don't think it's a deal. Maybe it's just that... Maybe so much has changed that... It just doesn't integrate well anymore with it or something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll probably never know the real reason why as to what's going on. But it's fun to speculate.
See, that's why you always do your quote fingers and go, reasons.
All right. Well, let's talk a little more about some things going on at Microsoft, Dark Sakura.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm sure people have some feelings. But Mike Ybarra left Xbox after having been there for about 20 years. He's very, very high level, as in the corporate vice president of Xbox, said he's going bye-bye. And this is his direct quote. It's been a great ride at Xbox, and the future is bright. Thanks to everyone at Team Xbox. I'm incredibly proud of what we've accomplished, and I wish you the best. More soon on what's next for me. Super excited. Sounds like someone was given some opportunity.
An opportunity recently opened up at Sony. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
But, I mean, we've also lost, you know, other big figures with Xbox, you know, like Phil Spencer was one of the big departures, you know. So he did.
Wait, no, Phil Spencer's still head of Xbox.
Oh, no, they said their goodbye to Ybarra. Sorry, I misread something.
Okay.
He's still there. I was like, why is that there? No, he's still there. No, it said that they you know, the big goodbyes on Facebook, sorry, on Twitter. But he did get, though, some... Yeah, the other high-profile one was Tim Lungo, who is the creative director for Halo Infinite. But, I don't know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I wish him the best, but he's also the same person that defended Anthem, so I'm kind of, like... Okay, later, bitch.
He was doing his job, to be fair.
Yeah, but Anthem is still a steaming pile of shit.
I know. But anyway, it's just one of those things where it's like, all these corporate departures are just kind of like, what the fuck's going on? What's in the water? Are they just trying to all get out of politics? Like, what? No, okay, a bad joke. But, you know, it's very – what if Sean Layden and him just switch places? Okay, I doubt it's that.
I love how everyone, though, is giving a –
Oh, act deft crap
act deft
in chat.
Crap. I mean, his name is spelled differently.
Yeah.
But I still think it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. All right. Yeah, I knew this other Jamie Summers. She was a bionic woman, apparently.
And spelled it differently.
Yes.
You know what's funny is that at work, one of the senior advisors in my team, in a completely different location, by the way, mm-hmm. has my maiden name.
Oh.
And so people get us confused all the time because even though I'm still first level, I was a senior advisor before and have like that, I guess that same tone of voice. People are like, oh yeah, this person talked to you. No, they didn't. They talked to the other Jamie.
You know what's so funny? It took me a minute to remember your maiden name. Like I had to sit here and go, oh yeah.
And so. By the way, my last name ain't really Summers. It's just a stage
well, mine's
name.
Not, yeah, mine's not really Roberts. I think everybody knows that at this point. And his just, name's not real. His birth name isn't Loki. I think most people know that.
So. And Smooshy's stage name is actually the Smooshy.
No, his name really is Mr. Smoosh.
It is Mr. Smoosh, and he's vocalizing.
Actually,
so.
No, because remember, Mr. Smoosh was a rescue cat, and when they read the chip, it had his original name on it.
But that's not actually his name. He did have a legal name change.
Yeah.
You did not legally change your name to Rob Roberts.
No, I did not legally change my name to Rob Roberts.
So that's what we have.
Yeah.
So Mr. Smooshy's name is Mr. Smoosh, and I call him the Smooshies. Because he's the smooshiest cat. He's so cute.
All right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about a game that's causing a little bit of controversy out there. Or did I? I think I skipped a story. I'm sorry. There's a story missing from our little sidebar. Oops, awkward. Loki has something to talk about first.
Yes, we're going to talk about theft and Valve. And no, this isn't anything Valve is stealing. It is people stealing stuff from Valve. So apparently there was this 32-year-old guy, Sean Shabatis, who burglarized, I guess, Valve and stole a bunch of games and computers and accessories.
Yay!
So he apparently stole 48 PlayStation 4 and Xbox One games. And they said $40,000 worth of games and equipment from Valve. He, among other things that he stole from other stuff, he stole a FedEx truck, I guess, at one time. He also stole stuff from public restaurants. So basically he gained access to Valve, I guess, by through a public restaurant and then through a non-functioning stairwell door. And then he stole, you know, all those games from them.
Wait, so like Valve is a big building that probably has some type of cafe or public restaurant on the first floor. This guy went into the cafe, then like found a stair access in the cafe or something that got him into the rest of the building?
Yeah, and so then
that is some Metal Gear Solid shit.
Along with that, he also stole 15 to 20 laptops, some Nintendo Switch, and Steam Machine consoles.
By himself?
Steam Machine consoles aren't worth much. And then it's
video game Stark Sakura. He can carry as much as he wants as long as he doesn't exceed the number of slots.
He stole Gabe Newell's metal minigun looking thing. Yes.
So did they recover it?
Apparently, yes. He did get that. They did recover that stuff. So he'd been, he'd been throwing some random items into a rolling recycling bin, which he used to store all the stolen goods. They show like his haul there, and there's quite a bit of stuff. He stole a signed copy of Heavy Metal. That's random.
Don't steal things, folks. Even though it's kind of like interesting and very video game plot like that he did it, you probably shouldn't steal. It's generally a bad idea.
He didn't steal Half-Life 3, and that's really what he needed.
Yeah, that was what he should have stolen, was the source code for Half-Life 3. All right.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Next time.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about this Kickstarter for a new game coming out called Enchanted Portals. But the thing is, if you actually look at the game Enchanted Portals, I'm sorry I didn't have time to get B-roll tonight because I had
it's too bad because that would have been really awesome.
I'm sorry, but with Enchanted Portals, you'll just have to Google it and look it up yourself. There was a Kickstarter going on for this, and the game really looks a lot like Cuphead. Like, a lot like Cuphead.
But it's not a ripoff.
Well, they're not cups because they're little witches instead.
And it's not technically – it's just a ripoff of the style and, like, genre.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no one's got a copyright on the 1930s.
No, they don't. And technically, no one has a copyright.
Oh my God, this does look a lot like it, though.
No one has a copyright on shooter or like shooters either.
Honestly, like Cuphead is Dr. Pepper, and this is Dr. Slice. Like, the, or what's the one they sell at Walmart called? What's that brand? Like, it's, you know what I mean, though. It's the lower quality version of the.
I play a doctor on TV.
Mr. P.
But a lot of folks went to Twitter to say basically like, hey, screw you. You guys are trying to make money and like totally ripping off Cuphead. Like, what's going on? Well, the two-man team behind this game, am I saying this right? Shisho, X-I-X-O? Shisho, I guess would be the way to say that. Shisho has commented on the issue saying, yes, Cuphead was a huge inspiration for Enchanted Portals. We're both avid fans and we want to make something similar, but always from a place of respect and admiration for the original. We were prepared for some backlash, but the trailer definitely reached way more people than we could ever anticipate, and all the hate and negativity coming our way has definitely had a huge impact on us. That being said, along with all those negative responses, a lot of people have also reached out to us to say they adore the game and would love to see it succeed. So we're trying to turn our attention more towards all those who are supporting us and sending their love for the game. Look, I can respect the angle of just cut out the haters and embrace the positivity versus the negativity. But I also do think it's important. Like, look, I get the whole, like, the art style can be flattering and so forth. But they were showing some bosses that were really similar to bosses in Cuphead and things like that. Like, do something a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like, take something you wish was better about Cuphead. And do that. You know, like, there is a way where you can kind of take Cuphead as a template and then, like, do your own thing on it. It's not like there aren't tons of video games out there that are derivative of each other. And this goes all the way back to fucking Pac-Man, right? Like, after Pac-Man came out, how many fucking maze games came out? What, like, Ladybug, Mousetrap?
Well, and even Crazy Otto, which eventually turned into Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, for sure. Amidar. There was, like, a million, like, Pac-Man clones, right? Or things inspired. But they all kind of did something a little bit different, didn't they? So, you know, that's, I think, what people would really appreciate about Cuphead. And I think, I can't even get the name of the game right, Enchanted Portals. And here's the thing that makes it dicey. When you go to Kickstarter and ask for money, when it's one of these things where it's like, I would like to make these dolls, and I would like to put out my Pack-a-Chump dolls here. And here's my prototype Pack-a-Chump doll that I'm going to be selling. And for those of you that are
Pokemon.
That for those of you that are watching the podcast feed, I'm holding up a certain yellow creature that may look very familiar to one that you know from a Go game on your mobile phone or a Sword and Shield game coming out on your Switch. But my Pack-a-Chump is just inspired by Pokemon. I would never just directly steal. So what you have to do is you have to put a little mustache on it and glasses, and make it your own.
Put a beard on, and then he's evil Pikachu.
Slidekick in chat says, Pack-a-Chunk is the obese Pikachu. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Just stop.
I know. Pikachu is not a skinny little rat, mind you.
Thank you. Slidekick also doing the real work that we need to know here, saying, Walmart is apparently Dr. Thunder. Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. Dr. Thunder. All right. Anyway.
That always still sounds like a porn name.
And then
Dr. Thunder.
In chat, this is also very important because I talked about the name of the company, Shisho. ActDeft was asking, is he related to Shusha?
No. I don't think so.
And ActDeft is asking, does anyone know who the fuck Shusha is?
Yes, I do.
And of course we know who Shusha is.
I'm going to give you my keys. That was how she would end the show in... give an extra lipsticky kiss on the cheek to some kid.
Yes.
Now she's wanted for police. Several years later.
I want to make a game based on Shusha.
I'm going to see where she is now.
Yeah, where is Shusha? Please don't say dead. I feel like the answer is going to be dead.
In prison.
No, not in prison.
Shusha, American TV program.
Okay.
1993, my God. And it was based on Shuda Shusha. Which was the original show, it looks like. All right, her name is Shusha Meningel.
DJ Rama S is saying, thank God she's not dead. Phew.
Brazilian TV host, film actress, blah, blah, blah. She is the queen of the short ones.
But is the bitch alive?
Yes.
Okay, good. See a Tiberian chat.
That should be a website. Is the bitch alive? And then you just have a drop down. And it's just a bunch of different celebrities.
She is right now among Brazil's most prominent celebrities and is worth over 400 million US. She is one of the highest net worths of any woman entertainer in Brazil.
Metal Mayhem in chat says, Xuxa sells seashells by the seashore. That's actually pretty funny, Metal Mayhem. All right. Sia Tiberi in chat says, someone should make a video game about Wing.
And she was on Dancing Brazil, which is a Brazilian version of Dancing with Stars.
Really?
And she is a big social activist as well, working with Brazil's poorest communities.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Good
she's,
for you, Xuxa.
Turns out Xuxa is a pretty, pretty good person.
Xuxa and is she sure had awesome.
And she had an affair with Pele.
Oh.
Back in the day when she was 16.
Scandalous. I really want that website. Is the bitch alive? Or is the bitch dead?
Is the bitch dead, yes.
Well, hey.
And it's got the default search has to be Betty White.
And for people who want to look up Xuxa, it's XUXA. And honestly, the show is so on drugs that it's worth watching a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Because all the children programming we loved and adore, especially in the 80s, was probably derived from cocaine. Oh, speaking of things that were probably derived from cocaine, please, because this was linked in the VOG Network Discord, and I probably wouldn't have seen it otherwise, but we do have our own Discord server at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com/Discord. Somebody linked...
She's on Instagram, what?
Hold on. Somebody linked this Saturday Night Live sketch that was a parody of the Joker movie trailer, but it was for Oscar the Grouch. And first off, it was starring David Harbour, who, you know... David Harbour was in the trailer becoming Oscar the Grouch. But what killed me was that they had all these real-life interpretations of all these characters from Sesame Street. And, like, the Count was counting his pills as he was taking them.
Yes.
Fucking, like, Ernie got stabbed by somebody and Bert's crying over it. It's really funny. And I haven't said that about Saturday Night Live in a long time. But that was a really funny trailer. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, the Grouch trailer. So there it is. All right. Moving on. Let's get to another story. Darsagra, this is a possible edutainment title, right?
Yeah, and actually the link was provided to me by our dear Ranma. But it's and now I'm really loath to say anything positive about Kickstarter right now, but the union organizers and have been saying please continue to support it because it's how a lot of people get their money. So I did actually back this one for the sake of supporting the creators. I am still, however, speaking out against their practices and wanting to hold, of course, the corporate people responsible. So, like I said, we got to pick our battles, right? Shujinko is a game coming out that's supposed to teach you Japanese. It's going to have a release on Switch and PS4. And... it's basically set in a world where the Japanese language is being erased by demons, and you have to save it. So it's sort of a roleplay/Metroidvania-style game, and you have to react to different situations on screen, and it familiarizes you with the language as you go. And I'll put it this way. It sounded like a really good concept, especially for someone like me who's trying to eventually pass the JLPT. So I backed it.
It sounds like a neat concept, especially, you know, for somebody that might want to learn a little Japanese. Lord knows I could use it, so...
Well, and I said that I was going
to... teach me how to read, like, say it, pronounce it?
I had... Well, I hope so. But, I personally said that I wasn't going to back anything until I found something worth backing, because I do want to support the content creator. It's just I am still also... you know, visibly protesting the actions of the corporation.
Are you able to just reach out to the content creator directly and say, hey, can I have your PayPal?
You know, that I didn't find out. I should do that, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, the amount that I pledged gets me my copy of the game. Mm-hmm. So I should see if they have any other way to do that, and then I can withdraw my pledge.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. Because I'd feel better about that than doing it any other way.
But that's cool. I think that's pretty awesome that you know, it's like an edutainment game, but it's something a little more mainstream sounding. So best of luck to them on that. I think that's cool.
Would be fun.
Yeah, hopefully if the game's, you know, kind of fun, I'd love to learn Japanese that way. Anyway, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So this is pretty exciting. So Steam is adding a new service soon that's called Remote Play Together. And what that is basically allows you to play any couch co-op games online with other players. So you'll be able to launch up to 4 players in a specific game and be able to play with other people that aren't in the room with you. So
it's PlayStation 4 share play.
Sort of, yeah, exactly. So I'm down with this because if I release a game on Steam, I don't know how to fucking code online gameplay. This will make it much easier for me. So I think it's pretty awesome. And so they're going to offer that. It's going to be something that they're implementing very soon. And it's just going to be built into any game that's on Steam. I think they have a few. Yeah, it's in beta right now. So they're launching around October 21st. And they said it includes split screen and local co-op play. And apparently it's all done through the Steam overlay. You can accept invitations from friends to join and block people if you don't want them to come in. And there's other limitations you can set, like blocking certain inputs on a shared keyboard and mouse and stuff like that.
Like, so you can't just hit Alt F4 on somebody else's keyboard?
Something like that, yeah.
Control Alt Delete, those types of things?
Yeah, so I think this is very exciting. It'd be cool to see how, you know, we can use this, but neat. I'm always for more accessibility for people to play over the internet with friends.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, the PlayStation 4 share play is probably one of those features that's, like, really underutilized, and I think people forget it's there. So, yeah, it'd be really cool. Bonds 006 says, I have some coworkers that would be into couch play on Steam. Yeah, I think there'd be, especially the ability to, like, kind of, like, try a game, because share play is also only limited to an hour.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Yeah, this one is, it's, you don't have to own a copy of the game to be able to do that, too, to play with somebody else. If they have a copy of the game, then you can play it, and it'll stream it to you. So, pretty cool how that works.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I like that. All right. Well, let's move on, and let's talk about some things that are going on with the new Atari VCS that is maybe coming out. I don't know. And the reason why I say I don't know, which is interesting, because we just last week had that story about how AntStream was going to have, like, an Atari exclusive edition, right? Well, the Atari VCS, the architect of the system, quit. That's right. Not only did he quit, but he quit saying he hasn't been paid in 6 months.
Oh, no.
Yikes. Rob Wyatt is the system architect. He's the architect behind the system. He was also one of the founding team members behind the Xbox, should be pointing out. And in an interview, he told the Register, as of Friday, October 4th, I've officially resigned as the architect of Atari VCS. Atari haven't paid invoices going back over 6 months to the consultant firm that he runs, Tin Giant. As a small company, we've been lucky to survive this long. All they had so far was a prototype motherboard last month, and the team was in the middle of debugging said motherboard before he decided to quit. Now, it will probably fall to a different organization, Surface Inc., which Atari contracted with to complete the console, but who knows how long that is going to take. Yikes.
And this just sounds to me a lot like the whole Coleco debacle that was out there, except a little different story, because with the Coleco one, I think it was the Coleco where they had, like, fake hardware. They were trying to, like, fake that the hardware was actually done, whereas this sounds like that he's actually been working on hardware. They're just not paying him. So, but still not a good sign.
DJ Rama S says, what happened to that Kickstarter money? Uh-oh. For those backers. Well, to be continued, I suppose. Anyhow, now we're going to take a trip down memory lane to better times, to better games.
I'm literally tripping and falling over my feet into this.
We're going to get to our classic soundtrack of the month, because once a month, Darksoccer goes in the gaming vault and not only says, here's a game you should check out, but she actually says, here's a soundtrack that we don't talk about enough. Although, I don't know about this one. We do
talk about this one a lot, so it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
And remember, I'm trying to avoid, like, the RPG ones and the ones like that, but this couldn't go without a mention.
You really can't do this segment, especially if you're going to highlight 8-bit games, and not talk about this one.
I am putting the 16-bit thing on hiatus.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go ahead and make the announcement now. Next year, we are doing Classic Pinball of the Month.
All right.
Which is basically going to be 90%, you know.
Tables you own.
No, because we have some ones I don't like. Like, I hate Judge Dredd, and we own that. I hate Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we own that. So,
is there a Halo pinball table?
I'd hate that if it existed. But it's not going to be any of the current Stern ones. It's going to be everything, like, prior to the whole Pinball 2000 thing.
So right. I'm using that as my marker for what constitutes classic pinball.
Fair enough. Okay, for those watching on Twitch, because I had...
It's all going to be John Papaduke and Steve Ritchie games.
There was a lot of stuff that I did before tonight's show with the system and trying to upgrade some things that didn't work. So it's going to go blank on Twitch for just a minute because I forgot to load the B-roll in advance. Oopsie daisy. But for the podcast folks, you can listen to Jamie start to talk about this game. So what did you pick for the classic game, or excuse me, the classic soundtrack of the month?
DuckTales. Woo.
DuckTales.
Because of the moon. It's all about the moon. I mean, the whole game has an epic soundtrack. The DuckTales soundtrack was composed by Tonomura Hiroshige, and it was actually one of the first soundtracks he ever worked on. Can you believe this is early work from this guy? And it's so
Actually, oh, I did fix things where I can turn this up and down on demand. Here we go.
There you go. So lovely. Now we all know the beauty that is this particular soundtrack. It was, he also did compose some of the various, you know, background tracks in the game. He also rearranged the DuckTales theme for this. So, and he took moments to get the theme kind of incorporated back into some of the other tracks, so at least that same feel of the themes. It also has different little fanfares and jingles that were played off of the DuckTales theme, like, you know, when you die or when you finish a stage or something. And all of these songs were completely, of course, remastered for DuckTales Remastered. It was coded in 6502 assembly and using a sound driver created by Sakaguchi Yoshihiro. So it's really, you know, some other things that I'd like to highlight what the composer has done. He also did Legendary Wings for NES. He did some baseball games, Destiny of the Emperor for NES. He did the Ninja Kids. He did Bust a Move for in 1994. No, he didn't do all that. He was the sound producer for Bust a Move. And he also was the sound director for Raystorm, one of the, you know, best shooters out there. So he's really, you know, I wouldn't say he had a very long list of things, but he's done some very good things. And of course, the music is one of the things that people completely know this game for. I mean, apart from it just being a really solid game. They also did different versions of the music. There was a Transylvania stage that didn't make it into the final one. A slower version of the Moon stage. And, you know, just a bunch of different things that you can find. There's a beta version out there that has some of these things in it that you can listen to. And, of course, as the game was ported over to Game Boy, the same music went along with it. So it was all his work. So we really, you know, again, this is one of those games... That the moment you bring up, oh yeah, I really like playing DuckTales, people go, oh my god, but the music, right? So that's our game, is DuckTales. So, anyone have some good memories of music?
I remember, I can't remember if I owned DuckTales or rented it a lot, but I remember playing a lot of DuckTales.
How many games do we have that we just rented it a lot that it felt like we owned them?
Or maybe I borrowed it. So that was back when, like, we had swapped games with friends in the neighborhood and stuff like that. And so I do remember playing this quite a bit. Maybe I did own it.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I mean, it's one of the ones that when Dan and I were rebuilding our NES collection, we had to have this one.
And I don't know if it's just because it's like a Capcom game or something like that, but a lot of this music reminds me of Mega Man.
Well, you know who was one of the main artists of the game was Inafune. So, I mean, he didn't really do much else in the game, but he was one of the main artists in this game. So, there you go.
That's who we need to get in a Marvel vs. Capcom game, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, he'd just pogo off of people's
Scrooge
heads.
Scrooge for Smash!
And he'd smack gems at them.
Hell yes.
And then, but after he smacks them, then he would run around the screen and go save it, because that's the kind of duck he is.
I was reading actually a few other things about that beta version of DuckTales, like Gizmo Duck's name from the Japanese version was in a lot of it as Roboduck. It's funny, I was actually looking up the name, the original name of the game, and it's called Wanpaku Daku Yume Boken, which is Naughty Duck's Dream Adventures. I just like the name Naughty Ducks. It denotes, like, it's some unruly ducks.
It's the porn parody hockey team.
Either that, or they, like, it's like the precursor to the Untitled Goose Game.
Bobby Blackwolf in our chat points out, DuckTales was the only NES game I could beat as a kid without a Game Genie. It's still the only NES game I can beat without a Game Genie.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that I don't remember.
Really? I mean...
I'm kidding.
I mean, I'm just like... I'm thinking back to beating the Guardian Legend as a kid.
Ooh. You know something else
yes,
I played this week?
Yes, I did beat
week?
That.
You know something else I played this week on a completely random tangent? I forgot about it because it was earlier in the week. It was like Monday. You remember that mashup of Zelda and Metroid that they put out, the randomizer?
Yeah, the one they do for the speedruns.
Z1, M1, or something like that?
Yeah.
I downloaded that, and I started playing that. That's neat. I like that. Except the problem with it is then I tried to figure out, how do I run that program that automatically plots the map? And I couldn't figure that part out, and I got frustrated. I couldn't figure out the mapping software, so I stopped. Yeah. Somebody's got to hold my hand and walk me through it on Discord so I can figure it out.
If people look up the old GDQ streams, though, there's a lot of really good – the other things, though, that I like are, like, the game bingos. I would love for us to put together, like, a run.
What's a game bingo?
Game bingo. So you've got your bingo card set with different objectives to do in the game. And either you have to do, like, a particular line of them, like, you pick which ones. You can do different tasks along the way, but when you hit your straight line of everything, then it's bingo. There are some who do blackout bingo.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. There's a few on the GDQ Twitch channel. You can find some really good bingo streams as well. For the last GDQ thing that they did an Ocarina of Time bingo.
I want to, like, live stream some of that stuff, I think. I know when we get into, like, emulators and stuff, things get a little dicey. But here's the thing. I legally own a copy of Zelda. I legally own a copy of Metroid. I don't think I'm in the wrong.
I think I own, like, several copies of all this shit.
I think we all do at this point because we've all had to rebuy new
stuff. I have a SNES Classic. It's fine. I'm covered for all Super Nintendo games now.
Well, I wouldn't say all Super Nintendo
games. No, it's all of them.
All right. Anyway. Bobby Buckle says, yeah, they did a Super Mario Sunshine bingo at the last GDQ.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But I know that they've done an Ocarina one. Hmm. So.
Good times. All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about some rapid fire news quickly. Some things going on in the gaming industry. So, Loki.
Doom Eternal has been delayed to March. That's unfortunate. Delayed to March 20th, 2020. And it's because they have to add some polish so they can live up to their standards of speed and, I guess, polish. So, please understand.
Take the time to get it right. It's cool.
I'm down with that. You know, that's fine. Let's see. What else? And then they have a new cross.
Sorry, I have to say this. Act Deft in chat says, Bethesda's delaying a game to fix it? What?
It's software. Just because they're owned by Bethesda doesn't mean they necessarily operate under the same standards. But
I see.
Anyways, there is a new crossover coming to Rocket League for Halloween, and it is Stranger Things. So, yeah, Stranger Things is going to have a crossover, and they've got some...
It just plays the theme song on loop while you play.
I wish. That'd be worth it right there. So, apparently, in that, you can earn candy corn to spend on treats during this event, including you can pick up wheels with the Star Court Mall logo.
Hold on. Because I've done a scientific survey amongst my friends, and as it turns out, I'm the only person on planet Earth that likes candy corn.
I like candy corn.
Shit. I have candy corn in my car for you. Yeah, finish all this shit, and I'll go get your candy corn.
Wow. Can you grant me two other wishes while you're at it?
Anyways,
the best.
Right. So then you can also get apparently Dustin's Camp Nowhere hat as a hat in the game because, you know, the cars wear hats in that. So that's something. And they also have a Demogorgon player banner and a Scoops Ahoy themed avatar border.
Of course.
And this is going to run from October 14th through November 11th.
All right. Bonds 006 in chat says, soulless monsters, all of you, for liking candy
and
corn.
They also have a Farmstead Arena, which has like an upside down type vibe with like, it looks like the mind flare in the background stuff.
You ready for me to say something really controversial? Okay. Like, wait for it, guys, because you're going to gasp. Okay. So you think I'm weird for liking candy corn? You know what else I like? You know what else I like really like? Black licorice. Good and Plenty, good stuff. Like, that's actually like one of my preferred movie snacks is Good and Plenty. I love black licorice. Fight me. Or give it to me. Like, if you don't like it, give it to me. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I'm just waiting for the chat reactions. Do you know, Dark Soccer, did you happen to have any black licorice out there?
Ew.
Because. Ooh, are they pumpkin? They're pumpkin candy corn. I gotta try this. Okay.
Pumpkin and apple pie.
Okay, after I do this story, then I'm gonna eat. This is basic.
I like candy corn for the record, although I made candy corn cookies, and I learned that if you were gonna bake candy corn into a cookie, you have to seal the shit out of those cookies, or you get that glass candy thing all over the place.
DJ Rama S in chat says, why would you say something so controversial yet so brave? Love it.
I loathe licorice. I think it's...
I love it. Give it to me.
I think that it's the shit that shits.
It's not that bad. Stop being dramatic.
I also don't like Jägermeister. I don't like Ouzo. I don't like any of the Annie's licorice-flavored things.
Now, you know... Okay, I have to say... I'm sorry. I have to say this because now we've opened this Pandora's box and I can't stop. It's not... You know what's even better than like the Good and Plenty's and like the actual black licorice and the rare circumstance you can find it? Not that Jelly Belly black licorice shit. Like, the buttered popcorn Jelly Belly is pretty good. But the actual, like, jelly beans. Not Jelly Bellies. Fuck those. The actual black jelly beans. Like, those fat Easter basket jelly beans. Mmm. Nom, 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 nom.
No.
All right.
But you and Dan are the people that I will buy licorice for when I find good, quote, good, you know, like, high quality. You and Dan are the only people I will buy it for. You're the only two people that I like enough to buy black licorice for.
Down Up Destiny in chat says black licorice is good. Thank you. So are oatmeal cookies.
To put
cookies
in a landfill.
I'm not gonna fight about oatmeal cookies.
Like, I love oatmeal cookies. I hate raisins though.
Yeah, the thing is that you just need to clearly label. Like, I'm fine with oatmeal raisin cookies as long as they are clearly labeled oatmeal raisin.
Raisins are deceptive little assholes.
I'm fine with oatmeal raisin, but like, if I eat that thinking, oh, that's a chocolate chip cookie, and then I bite into it and I surprise it's a raisin, I'm gonna be dissatisfied. But as long as you tell me up front, yo, it's an oatmeal cookie, then we're
now,
fine.
If
I'll be prepared for
I will
it.
Not make oatmeal raisin cookies, but I will make oatmeal craisin cookies.
You made those once. They were really good.
They were really
good. I did
good.
Have them. Craisins are great. Okay, anyway.
But I am doing strawberry cookies next, and I'm going to put rosé chocolate chips in it.
Back to rapid fire news. Apple has added 5 new arcade games to Apple Arcade, including Inmost, which is by the makers of Stardew Valley and Wargroove. I didn't know that. From Hidden Layer Games. It's a very different type of game there. Neat. The publisher was those other games. Shock Rods is another game that has been added. It's kind of like a racing game. Stella is another game that's been released, as well as Decoherence and Mind Symphony. I believe those of you that started your free trial, it's going to be running out soon. So just a heads up on that if you are on your free month trial and you do or do not, whatever, wish to keep it.
But it's $5 and you can share it with your whole family through family sharing. So, I mean, it's like one of the cheapest subs you'll ever have out there for that much. And there's a lot more games coming out. I'm really excited.
I haven't got it yet just because I don't want to add to my gaming backlog. But once I make some progress in my gaming backlog, I'll probably do it.
It's, a lot of the things on there, though, are things that you can play in bursts. So if you're out and about... It's really easy to do.
That's fair, except I'm usually just playing Ingress, Pokemon Go, Harry Potter, all at once.
Oh, you.
Oh, me. All right. And one other thing to mention here from me. There is a very scary Halloween mask that's been spotted out there. It is a Sonic the Hedgehog movie mask. That's right. Even though the Sonic the Hedgehog movie got delayed until next year, you know what didn't get delayed? Licensing agreements. So if you want to be the scariest person on the whole block, you can get the Sonic the Hedgehog mask. You got to buy one and wear it on the show. Are we going to have a dress-up night here at OLR for Halloween?
I
Now that we're video?
My coworkers want to do 80s, and that's kind of lame, but I don't know.
I think I
You just need an Izod shirt with a popped collar, and you're good.
I'm going back and forth between two things. I'm pretty set on one, though, but I don't want to ruin it, so you just have to wait.
No, you need to get, like, the mullet hair and do Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club. That's it. Now, anyway. All right. Can I do my story?
Yeah, of course you can do your stories.
Okay.
Because I want to eat these candy corns.
Let me know how they are, because I like candy corn, too. So they are doing retro-style Ghosts and Goblins figures in Japan, or as it was called there, Makaimura. And they are selling them through the eCapcom online store and Hot Toys in Japan. But they have 2 3 packs and a single pack. And the three packs include, the big monster, the little monster, and Arthur. And then there's another one with Arthur in his underwear. And then there's a single one that's Arthur in the gold armor. So, cool. I already started looking on how to buy those, and I don't think I can yet. And then Mega Man, or Rakuman, as we're maybe knowing him as. They're getting a 6-album vinyl collection that has the soundtracks as their various compilations, but Mega Man 1 through 11, the collection, has 152 tracks, 30 years of Mega Man music, and onto... 6 discs of both of Rockman's major colors, the light blue and the darker blue. And each of the sleeves has artwork on it, and they're in what's called a luxury ridged board slip case. And so each, and they've got all of the, I'm actually looking at this and it's really, really pretty artwork. I want this, except I don't have a working record player.
Time to get one.
But you can.
Time to go thrift store shopping.
In the UK, you can get it for £90.
Once October is over and I'm past Halloween, like, my weekends are going to free up immensely. So we need to have a thrift store shopping binge.
I'll do some thrifting
in November. It'll be fun. But I'm not free until November. I wish I was joking.
Well, you know what? I'm usually working every Saturday, so.
Don't. Oh, well, we can work around it. All right. Anyhow, let's move on.
Oh, God, what's this on Party City?
They're still talking about the Sonic thing. Oh, no. Sia Tabiri linked the RuPaul wig line thing that's at Party City. Because now people are taking, like, in so much inspiration from Drag Race, they're dressing up like drag queens and stuff. And RuPaul has his own line of wigs.
You know what? This wig is cheap shit, and I expect better of RuPaul.
All right. Moving on. That's right. SG100 Matt says Rob is also coming to New York next month. I am. So technically, I'm...
Oh, my God, though. This queen is actually using RuPaul's wig, and it actually looks really good the way that she's dressed it up. But that ain't no lace front, though.
All right. Can we get to the release dates?
No, because I like wigs. All right. Okay, fine.
While you read about wigs, while you untuck back in the gold bar, Loki's going to go over some world release dates.
Yes, we have a game called Disco Elysium that's coming out on PC this week. Earth Defense Force Iron Rain coming out on PC. Grandia HD Remaster on PC, Overwatch Legendary Edition on Nintendo Switch, Steins Gate Elite on iOS, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition on Nintendo Switch. By The Witcher instead of Overwatch, seriously. Little Town Hero on Nintendo Switch, Monkey King The Hero Is Back on PC and PlayStation 4, Travis Strikes Again No More Heroes Complete Edition on PC and PlayStation 4, and Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Complete Edition on PC and Nintendo Switch, Ice Aid Scrat's Nutty Adventure on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for the Neighborville on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, and last but not least, you too can get the Wii Fit, or was it the Nintendo Switch strap-on with Ring Fit Adventure coming out on the
Hooray,
Switch.
The Nintendo strap-on and ring.
Yes.
Can't wait. Actually, I'll check it out. I probably will check that out.
Yes.
That's
this week.
So fast.
I know.
They, like, just announced that thing. All right. Anyway. Moving on, talking about what's happening in Japan and looking at the release dates over there. Let's see. Coming out on October 17th in Japan on the PlayStation 4, we have Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes Complete Edition. Monkey King, Hero is Back, is out in Japan as well. Sariento VR is out in Japan, and that is all on the 17th. Traveling to the Nintendo Switch to see what they have on the same day. Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town is out, as well as Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Complete Edition. Oh, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt gets its Japanese Switch release, even though we've had it for a little bit. It's getting its Japanese release this week. Pretty cool. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Pardon me. The site's kind of changed some of their stuff up, so I had to go some hunting. But on the 13th, we have Grid for PC. Now, I know this isn't a game, but I'm saying that because the name is hilarious anyway. Pop Games Butt Stallion.
Butt Stallion.
Butt Stuff.
Butt Stallion. Northgard comes out on the 14th for PlayStation. Overwatch for Switch. Don't buy it, please. Zombieland Double Tap comes out on the big three. DayZ comes out also on the 14th. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition for Switch. And I think I have hit through... No, I haven't. Because on the 16th... Goodness, it's a long week. 16th is The Fisherman Fishing Planet. Which... I'm sorry, I'm not going to play it if I can't use the rod controller. So, Monkey King Hero is Back. Ring Fit Adventure on October 17th. Crazy Machines. A Hat in Time. That looks cute. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville. Raging Loop, Planetscape, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 Enhanced. There's a lot of stuff on the 17th. And Ice Age Scrat's Nutty Adventure. Okay, I don't want to know about nuts. All right, that's it. What's your verdict?
Get those nuts out of my face.
What's your verdict?
Believe it or not, the apple pie ones are really good. Like, the pumpkin ones are good, of course, but, like, the flavor is a little more subtle, but the apple pie ones look really good.
All right, well, let's hear it for the dollar store.
I can't throw it at you. Okay, that's fine.
My stomach's upset.
All right. Well, let's move on to the mailbag. There's nothing in the mailbag this week?
No.
Bummer. You guys should get on that. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Although I'm understanding we may have somehow lost some emails. So it's weird to me that we keep not having emails. So I will look into, like, what the bleep is going on. But this is also part of the reason why I'm kind of like, maybe we need to have something besides emails for people to interact with us. But I don't know. I don't know how to do that yet. I kind of want to have a text message thing or, like, an app or something. I don't know. I'm going to look into that, you guys. I'm not saying mail is going away. So please send your mails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But I'm getting to that point where I'm like, maybe we can do this better. So anyway, for now, though. Doing things better. That's what new consoles are supposed to do. Or console-less consoles, right?
And I'm sure that they're totally not promising things that they can't deliver on, but Google Stadia claims that they're going to be... it's going to get faster and more responsive than local gaming hardware. They say they're going to do this with some sort of trickery that they're saying is, like, negative latency. So they're basically going to use predictive technology to figure out what you're going to press before you actually press it. That doesn't sound like that's going to work, but that they say in a year or two that's what's going to happen.
That's going to make music games super easy.
Exactly. They predict I'm going to hit it right every time.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So people were worried about the latency making music games possible on a game like on a console like Google Stadia, but you're going to get perfect every time now.
Exactly.
That's great.
Call me skeptical, but I don't think that's going to work out. And also, a year or two into the console life, I don't know. I mean,
well, to be fair,
this just reminds me of
the console launches like next month, right? For those early adopters with the Chromecast and that whole thing.
But this just totally screams.
I said the console. We all know.
Like, was it the PlayStation 3 when they were saying, "Oh yeah, it's going to be, you know, 1080p on everything," or like I think they were even saying like higher than 1080p, like and 120 frames per second on like a lot of the games or whatever. I'm skeptical that this will be a thing, but. I guess anything they could do to reduce latency would be nice, but I'm just anything negative latency. I'm sorry. That's just kind of ridiculous.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says this story is nonsense, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, believe it or not, Loki and I agree on this topic.
Oh, my God.
I feel like you're not oh, my God-ing at that revelation, even though I was. What?
We did get an email.
Oh, we did? You just missed it?
Like 4 minutes ago.
Okay, hold on. Okay. We'll backtrack. You can't interrupt now. All right. Bobby Blackwolf continues on and says, negative latency equals blast processing. It's a buzzword. I would agree that this is the blast processing of the year 2019.
Because it could try to predict what you're going to press, but like, it's not a guarantee, so that's just going to throw all sorts of problems into the mix. So I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
It's a weird comment. That's really all I have to say. All right, let's backtrack. We can go to the email.
It's really short.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so this comes from Ryan. And it's all in caps. Never do that to me. 2020 is quickly approaching. There are just over 2 months left in this decade. What are your favorite games of the 2010s?
Oh, God. We could do a whole episode on this topic.
Let's table that one to do a whole episode on that topic.
Do me a favor. Save that for a taped show next week.
Okay.
Okay. If we do
but
that.
Mass Effect, all the things.
My list is probably pretty similar. But hold that thought, because I want to have a longer discussion on that. Now, I need time to think about it, because I need to think, like, what came out in 2009 and what came out in 2010?
Okay.
Because I need to kind of plan that out a little bit. So, all right. Anyway, Bobby Blackwell says, is this the first time we've used the backward headline button on air? No. You think this is the first time I fucked up? That's cute.
No, we never fuck up. It's always on purpose fuckery.
And backing up doesn't have the smooth animation. You've seen it all tonight. You got to see the backup. You got to see me insert a headline live on air. Last week, I changed a headline live on air because it said classic soundtrack of the month when we had to change that out at the last minute. But no, it doesn't do an animation when you backtrack, but that's okay. All right, anyway. That was fun playing with the sidebar, especially for those on the podcast that can't see what we're doing. But you just have to check out the archives over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. But we can move on to our next story, which has to do with Mortal Kombat 11. And, you know, the way a lot of these characters from Mortal Kombat 11 have been leaked is through data mining. So people will go in the files, and that's how they found that, oh, things, characters like Ash and Spawn and Nightwolf and the Terminator are going to be inside Mortal Kombat.
Terminator's fucking hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like looks very Arnold-y and all that. But anyway, apparently what they've done for data miners is they've trolled a little bit with a Combat Pack 2 in one of the outros for the Terminator. Yes, you get a first-person view where you see kind of the red scan style, and then some text comes up on the screen really quickly. And one of the things that comes up is data mine in progress, and it shows Melina, Rain, Lee May, Serena, Meat, and Mocap. Now, some of those are actually characters that people would like to see added, like Melina and Rain. But other ones, like, they're not going to do Meat. Give me a break. That would be ridiculous. Mocap, I think, would break the game. So, but it's a cute little thing that they
did there. What's Mocap?
Mocap was the character, it was just really overpowered. I think it could do everything. Something like that. Oh, of course, my hubby that is Mortal Kombat obsessive instantly knows the answer to this. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hello.
Okay. Speak into the mic and tell us. You can grab Loki's mic here. Yes. Have a seat with Pack-a-Chonk. Who is Mocap?
I don't know what game he was from, but he was a gag character, and it's a guy in a morph suit, like a green morph suit with the little ping pong balls on him, like a mocap, like they do the mocap for the character fighting. It's just that guy. So...
All right.
Dumb. Well, it's like an Easter egg on your head, but like as far as like, iconic, underground.
Pay Money as a DLC character.
That's like a deep cut character that's like a fan favorite. No, he isn't.
Like if Mocap comes to the game before Melina, people are going to be really mad.
Yeah, it's like, guys, come on.
Who do they need to add to Mortal Kombat 11?
Are
you still playing Mortal Kombat 11?
No, I haven't in ages.
No, you've been playing Doom. I've watched
it. Because it's Halloween. It's how spooky season.
Doom is your spooky game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can play Doom. I can't play Outlast. Shut it down. I can manage with Doom.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you also mod the shit out of Doom. Like, I look at your computer, it doesn't even look like you're playing Doom. It looks like you're playing...
Oh, it's disgusting. Like there's, Doom like, sequel. Killing blows. There's, like, glory kills, like, in Doom 2016, where you're, like, ripping the sprites in half, and there's, like, intestine sprites. You'd love it.
Yeah. No, I'll stick with my...
Everyone, look up Project Brutality 3.0.
And...
That's my advice to you.
Real quick, before I let you go unpack groceries or whatever you were trying to do, in one sentence, tell me your thoughts on Blizzard this week.
If it stinks real bad and you keep hearing seagulls, you're probably standing in garbage. And it's been smelling real bad, and the seagulls have been chirping for decades now, and you look down, and it's like, oh, I'm in garbage.
Thank you, Alan.
Yes.
All right, enjoy your night. All right, let's move on. And we'll get to our next story, which has to do with a classic series coming back.
Anyway, Bubble Bobble! Yay, Bubble Bobble! Four Friends is going to have the 1986 version of Bubble Bobble, like so many classic versions have. But apparently it's going to have some other stuff floating around in it, so that seems like it could be pretty good. It's going to come out on Switch in Europe on November 19th, and then will be out in North America early next year. So, yeah, we're getting this one a little bit late. But, I mean, it's Bubble Bobble. I like Bubble Bobble. But it's going to also be out by Inn Games, as in the inn that you dine at. Inn Games. There you go.
Hopefully the boss on level 30 works.
Yeah, but this isn't like a completely redone version.
No, I know. This will be fine. But I'm all for revisiting Bubble Bobble. It's a fun series. But I liked Parasol Stars and all the Rainbow it was Parasol Stars, Rainbow
Islands.
Yeah.
Parasol Stars was the one where they jump up and down on No, that was Rainbow Islands.
Yeah.
The one where they jump up and they're human again.
Mm-hmm.
Parasol Stars was a weird game.
Kaijudo in chat says they need to add blood effects to Bubble Bobble. Maybe. Dark Tetsuya says, I'm disappointed they haven't done a new Taito compilation. Like, I know they've done some of the Arcade Archive ones, but I don't think Bubble Bobble has been done yet. True. You know what's funny? I think I have it sitting right over there. On the original Xbox, there was a Taito compilation that was pretty good. But you're right. They haven't really done one in a while, which is kind of surprising. I think there's a mini cab. Like, if you go to an electronics store and look in that section where the NES Classic and the SNES Classic used to be, where everybody's ripping it off now, like, especially Fry's. Oh, my God. If you have a Fry's in your town, I know they're not everywhere, but if you have a Fry's Electronics, like, look for that part of Fry's Electronics. It's gigantic with all these, like, mini consoles and things like that. It's crazy.
Fry's, though, has been looking like an empty-ass warehouse lately.
Yeah, I fear that Fry's is going to go under.
I went to their game section the other day, and I was like, there's nothing here.
Yeah, they're getting killed with online stuff. I hope they're able to turn it around, because I love Fry's. All right, anyway, let's move on and talk to Loki about something that I think is they're saying in chat is something's going on with this right now.
Yes, so season 10 of Fortnite just ended, which it basically ended in a singularity. So there was this event that happens kind of at the end of each season. There's different, like, kind of almost like a cutscene event that happens. So this one, they launched the rocket, which then ended up going through one of the rifts, and eventually you saw a bunch of rockets come back, and then the meteor ended up all kind of just hitting the planet at once. Everything got sucked into a big black hole, including the entire map. Everything just, like, got sucked in, and that's it. The game is over for now. But it's funny, though, is even if you try to play now, you can't play. In fact, if you go to the lobby screen to go load into it, all of the lobby menu and everything gets sucked into this big void, and everything is gone. All of the social media stuff for Fortnite and everything, all gone. All of the, you know, their bug fix pages, all gone. All of their social media and everything is just now this black hole, basically. But there's, of course...
That's a hell of a way to take your game down for maintenance for a day, let me just say.
Yes, but there is this. There's a lot of stuff going along with it. So right now, they have a live stream that's going on with this just little portal thing. So if you want something to do in the meantime, which is kind of cool, they do have a Konami code built into the game, if you actually go into the actual launcher and play the game, there's that. But there's been these numbers that have been flashing on the screen and stuff, and people have decoded the message. So the message right now is, I was not alone. Others were outside the loop. This was not calculated. Nothing is now inevitable. And so the thought is that they're going to do like a Fortnite Chapter 2 by Tuesday, and it's going to launch with a whole new map, and they're going to have like different content in there as well.
Interesting.
But people were worried, well, now am I going to lose all the progress I had and everything? And PlayStation put out a thing saying, don't worry, all your V-Bucks and everything are still fine. All your inventory is still fine. Just, it's like an event thing that's going on right now. So, but right now you cannot play Fortnite.
It's the most clever pull your game down for maintenance thing I've ever seen. But think about all that lost money. You know, they're not making money.
But if they have to shut it down to do this update anyways.
This is a way to do
it,
I guess.
And they've gotten the focus onto Fortnite for the time being, so yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what develops. I'm sure we'll know by Tuesday, if not sooner.
In fact, actually, they were saying right now, like, this was one of the comments, you know, on the stream. 4.5 million plus on YouTube, 1.5 million on Twitch, 1 million on Twitter. Just the amount of people watching.
I can't get 50 fucking people on Twitch, and there's 1.5 million watching a black fucking hole.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
It's interesting. I watched the video of like what happened, and even like I think it was a couple seasons ago with the giant mechs and stuff was pretty awesome. I don't know. It's interesting.
All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about a new Silent Hill game. That's right. We're going to talk about a brand new Silent Hill that was just announced, but it's not really a PlayStation game or an Xbox game or even a freaking cell phone game. Nope, it's a brand new game that was announced at the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. You know what that means? It's a slot machine. That's right. Silent Hill Escape is one of those slot machines that kind of has different sides to it so that three people can play it at the same time. And it's a slot experience. And it's talking about it's one of the first on Konami's new video slot cabinet, which is a 49-inch J-curve 4K UHD display. So it looks really pretty, basically. Let's see. It's a first glimpse of great things to come from Konami, that according to the executive vice president of Konami. As we all know, and I think we've talked about before on the show, Konami is no stranger to the gambling industry. If you ever go to a casino in your neck of the woods, I mean, I don't know what gambling laws are like in your state, but we have a lot of Native American like land here where they have casinos. And if you ever look at the machines, a lot of them are by Konami and have the Konami logo on them.
But I'm just surprised. Like, doesn't seem like the property that you would want to make out of a slot machine. Like, I just don't – like, I would think of anything, like, more of, like, the music-based stuff, like, is a lot more flashier and stuff, but I think would draw more attention than Silent Hill, which, honestly, the demographic, I think, for a lot of, like, gamblers is a little bit older. Like, I don't think they're going to know what that is,
keep
even.
Keep in mind, there's a certain generation that kind of grew up with those games, you know?
Yeah, but...
And I don't think these machines are just for... They're not just for the U.S. Obviously,
right,
there's
I get
a lot
that.
Of gambling in Asia, in places like Macau and places
I
like that, so...
I don't see, like...
I already yelled over this, so...
You already had your scream and your cry?
No, I pretty much did my usual tell-off Konami on Twitter, but... I mean, honestly, it's at this point that we can count Konami as no longer a friend of gamers.
Well, I don't know, because, like, I mean, obviously they've gone... lost a lot.
Yeah,
but
their Contra game is really shitty.
Oh, I haven't played the Contra
game. Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad to hear. Because the Castlevania, those collections turned out pretty good. The Bomberman games, people seem to be really well received, and they supported it really well after the fact. So it's a bummer if that Contra game didn't turn out that great, but I haven't played it myself.
It's not... Yeah, it's like a game that is not Contra that they threw the Contra name on.
Captain Spike in our chat. Hi, Captain Spike, and welcome back to our pals at GameBuoy.org. I noticed they've had two new episodes, which means they must be back on a regular schedule. So it's good to have you guys back. So Captain Spike says, been to Japan, parlors are trending younger, the IP has value. So that's what it is. You know, it's just different stuff. Whereas, like, if you go to Japan, you're probably not going to see Dolly Parton machines, unfortunately, because those machines are the ones I play every time I'm going through the Vegas airport. But anyway, Let's open up the Discord for your calls and then also the chat room. If you have anything you want to talk about, you can do that now via our Discord server and our chat room if you would like to give us a call. Let's get to – we do have somebody waiting in Discord, so we will get to that now. Hopefully it will work. I'm going to welcome them on the air. Oh, I tried to bring them on air and they left. Let me try that one more time and say hello. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? And they left. If I drag you in the on the air room, you don't want to leave. You want to stay in here. Let me try that one more time. All right. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Okay, they left. I guess they don't really want to be on. Psych. At least say psych. Do you have any last minute stories we want to talk about?
Yeah, so we can talk a little bit about, let's see here. I know I had something on here. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I know that's coming out in just like a couple weeks here. If you want it on PC, it's 175 gigabytes to install that game. That's ridiculous. That's like the size of an entire hard drive almost. No, thank you. I will not be installing that. I don't even know if I'm going to get that game, honestly. I do like single player Call of Duty stuff, but I don't know.
All right. We have another person waiting in the green room, so let's see if we can get them on the air. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, everybody. It is Ranma.
Hey, Rama, it's good to hear from you, and it's nice to know that Discord works. What's on your mind tonight?
Not too much, given I'm surviving from a night crash this weekend, but I'll live.
I'm sorry, that didn't come through. I didn't have you loud enough. What'd you say?
I'm doing well, given the crash I survived this weekend.
Crash? Like an actual
computer?
My system crashed. I lost everything.
Oh, God, I thought he meant car crash or something. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I lost everything. I'm hoping to be able to take care of a disaster recovery over the next couple of days. So, either or.
Well, good luck. I know losing a bunch of stuff like that is a pain in the you-know-what, so.
Yeah. And I've already mentally prepared for the fact that I have to start all over with everything. So be it. Mm.
Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
What's that?
So good. Horizon Zero Dawn, that game is so gorgeous. Oh my God, that game is so good.
Yeah, how long ago did you play through it?
I haven't finished, but I bought the game like the weekend I got my PS4. GameStop had it for like $10, so I shimmied my way over there. So I was like, let's see how this is. 10 minutes into the game, I'm like, why didn't I get up here sooner for this game? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, wow, I really should have got on this train sooner, even though people were telling me to do that. But it's just like, no, I want to keep playing MMOs. And, you know, but sometimes the nice thing about getting to the game late is that now all the expansions and everything are already included.
And the thing is, when somebody says something is so good and like your entire squad is all over the game, I'm the type of person, I'm like, nope. I don't want it. I will wait. I will jump onto the game or whatever series in my own time. You know?
So how far did you get?
Oh, God. It's been a while since I played because I have gamers ADD. I think I'm still on the path, some path or something like that. I just know I'll be able to pick up right where I left off. I honestly don't remember. God. But it's still a great game, though.
I'm really going to try to be on this game for the long haul. I want to try to get really far in it, maybe even beat it. I guess there's a whole expansion. There's this Frozen Wilds expansion. I don't know how that plays into things yet. I guess I'll find out when I get far enough in the game. But yeah, I definitely want to play through the game.
Definitely. Oh, and one more thing before I go. Did you get the thing that was sent to you?
Oh, you mean this thing right here?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. For those that can't see, of course, because I'm holding something up, it is some postcards from That Golden Girls Show, a puppet parody. And I'm sorry I didn't text you yesterday, but when this arrived yesterday, Rama, that was during the Ingress event, so I wasn't even home until like 11 o'clock last night.
Okay, cool.
But so tell us about the Golden Girls puppet parody show.
Okay. So it was about an hour 10. They talked about Dorothy not believing into superstitions, Blanche wanting to get liposuction, and Sophia dying.
Did they actually take episodes of the show and do it that way or what?
I don't think they took from the show, but they just took like some of the major plot points and rolled it together with the tropes and it just played out so well.
That's fun. That would be a thing I want to see if it's still going in New York when I'm there, because I'm going to be in New York in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
I know, but they just finished up out of New York and I've been following them. I am hoping they hit the West Coast, but they're mostly doing the Midwest and East Coast at the moment.
Yeah. And I'm already seeing some big shows when I'm in New York. So I guess not that bad, cause I'm going to be seeing the first few days of the Jagged Little Pill Broadway musical, which I'm so excited about. And then we're seeing Moulin Rouge on Broadway. I'm screaming. I'm so excited to see it.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. Fancy. So, yeah. All right. Well, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in another call before we, get out for the night, but thank you. And, I'll see you in a few weeks.
Oh, you got it. And, you know, Mako-chan's hyped as well.
Yay. I just got to figure out when and where to meet OLR people, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, because you know she wants to add you to her collection.
Yay.
I'm looking forward to seeing y'all next year, too.
Oh, yeah. We got to plan that. We got to plan that and do it awesome.
I'm still trying to decide if I want to pick a character from a different game and android them.
Hey, if that works, if we can do it, let's do it.
I need some help coming up with cosplay because none of my costumes fit anymore.
I'm kind of starting to know that feeling.
All right. Take care, Rama. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. We're going to...
I'm apparently making it to DerpyCon next year. Working on the book for 6 years.
You should go. It'd be fun. All right. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Act Def.
Hey, Act Def. It's good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about the Blizzard thing, but most of what you said, everyone has said already, has been said, so it's like kind of redundant. So
fair enough.
I want to talk about something that don't know if you talked about last week, but Pokemon Go and the ticket they're going to sell for an event. I don't know if you talked about that already.
No, not really. We may have touched on it, but I didn't really super get into it. And can I just also say about Pokemon Go, I couldn't do Trap Inch Day because of the Ingress thing was at the same time. Now, both those games are Niantic, and a lot of people that play Ingress play Pokemon Go. Why the hell did they schedule those two things at the same time? It's so irritating. I tried to do some Trap Inch catching with my Bluetooth, but I didn't get any shinies. Boo-hoo.
Well, Trap Inch isn't that great of a Pokemon.
Trap Inch is kind of a garbage mon anyway, so I don't even like the evolutions, so whatever. All right, anyway.
The shiny does look great, but okay.
Yeah. Tell us from your perspective. So if I'm not mistaken, now nothing official has been announced. This is all through data mining, which I think is important to note because that means subject to change. But apparently they're looking at doing potentially a raid for a Generation 5 legendary Pokemon that may be something that you have to pay for a virtual ticket to do. So it would be like, oh, you can do like a Go Fest wherever you are in the world, which we know they have the capability of doing because when they had all those issues at Go Fest, was it last year or the year before, you had the ability to do a makeup day wherever you were in the world and those mobs would spawn where you're at. So they're talking about, you know, through the data mining, doing something like that where you'd buy a ticket to a virtual festival and you might be able to catch a special Gen 5 legendary with this virtual ticket.
Yeah, basically the gist of it is there on the 15th, at least, it seems that they're going to launch this ticket. A colossal, cannot remember the exact name, but it's Colossal Ticket or something like that. And the thing is, yeah, most people are thinking about this is going to be a ticket, a kind of rate ticket for Regigigas, which is one of the legendary Pokemon from the first generation. And probably, but it's not necessarily confirmed, that it's going to be tied to a Go Fest Safari Zone type event, that if you buy the ticket, you will get like a special research task, like with Jirachi, Mew, Celebi, and all that, all those Pokemons. You're going to get something like that, and when you complete all the tasks, you will get probably the chance to get Regigigas. It's not necessarily confirmed, and again, like you said, it's all data mining, but I was going to ask you, because this something kind of similar happened with Ingress. We already talked about this, I think, but what's your opinion on something like this, like another paid event from Niantic, this time with Pokemon Go, which is kind of more popular?
Well, they have to make money, right? Niantic's got to pay for their employees, and they got to keep the lights on, right? So we can't expect that everything is going to be 100% free in these games, and I get that. But sometimes, and where I've taken issue with Niantic, especially in Ingress, is the way that they tell people. You know, people plan for months to do these things like Anomalies or, you know, Pokemon Go Fest or whatever the case is. And so the thing I got really agitated with Niantic about was that they announced a month before the Anomaly, 30 days before, that, oh, by the way, if you want to get a badge that proved you participated in the Anomaly, you're going to have to pay for it. Which they've never done before, never ever. And there's people that will be here on the ground playing in Sacramento or wherever the Anomaly is. There's also lots of people helping in other places around the world, because somebody's got to be like looking at the bird's eye view, telling people where to go and what they see, because you can only see so much around you on the ground. You can see more stuff from the air. And there's other ways people can support remotely as well. And Niantic wanted to charge those people too. And look, I understand. They got to make money. Okay, fine. So they want to charge a fee to, you know, do these things. But give them better notice. Give them proper, more advanced notice about it. And we had this whole issue with the 1.0 scanner was just – it's gone. The 1.0 scanner or redacted is gone. It's only Prime now. So this Anomaly we did yesterday was all in Ingress Prime. I kind of think the people that hate Ingress Prime – aren't giving it enough of a chance, or are looking through Redacted a little bit too much with rose-colored glasses. Because let me tell you, especially on iOS, Redacted had a shit ton of issues too. Like, I have not been able to upload stats to Agent Stats until they finally got it in Prime, because Redacted, you couldn't do it. It had so many issues. But anyway, I digress. I also understand a lot of people want to use this just as their reason to quit Ingress when they need a reason to get off the game. And that's fine too, you know, whatever the case is. Back to the issue of paying for particular raid monsters or whatever in Pokemon Go. I think a lot of it is in the way they announce it. If they do this announcement where they go, it's coming out tomorrow and you got to pay $10 to do it, that's going to be really shitty and I'm going to be kind of upset. But if they announce it's going to be happening on November 15th or something like that, let's say they announce it this week and they say it's going to happen on November 15th, and you can purchase it with in-game currency, I think that's all right, because that gives you plenty of time to start saving up those gym coins, and you can buy a ticket that way if you like. Or if you're just lazy or a casual player, then fine. Maybe you'll pony up the $10 and participate that way. But at least you'll have a little more choice, and you'll have time to decide what you want to do to make that choice. But that would be the way I would prefer to see them do it, is via in-game gold, which you can technically earn for free. It's just that it would be kind of shitty if they don't give you an opportunity to start saving. That's all.
And yeah, that's one of the things. The other thing that kind of bothers me is that we don't know exactly what is going to be the event. It may be just a rate pass, and if it's a $8 rate pass for a Pokemon that's probably not going to be that great either. That's the thing that's worrying me a lot, because the ticket is going to be like on sale for like at least 2 weeks, and the event is scheduled to be on the 2nd, on November 2nd. So that gives people time. That's okay. But the thing for me, at least the thing that worries me, is how they're going to do the event, what the event is going to be. Because if it's only like, okay, you're going to get special access for access to Regigigas, and again, that Pokemon isn't that great either. It's not something that you're probably gonna use even on raids or other like in even PvP. So it's like it's useless. Mostly it's useless. It's gonna look great, but it's gonna be useless.
Yeah.
So again, if it's tied to a GoFest Safari Zone type event, I think that's gonna be like really, really great, especially for people like in rural areas, that which still with the spawn changes that have happened in the past few weeks, mm-hmm. they still have problems, and yeah. And people like would really actually like I would actually be glad to pay the $8 or how much it's gonna be in Mexico for this, even if I have to pay up money up front or with in-game currency. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay for, on my part if it's done like that. But if it's just like a raid pass, like a normal raid pass for this Pokemon in particular, yeah, I'm just going to skip on it because it's not going to be that worth it.
Right. I kind of think, you know, again, this is kind of the problem with data mining in some ways is that, you know, you see the beginning point, you see the end point, and we're left to fill in the gaps with either our fantasies or based on what we think they've done before, they're going to do again. I mean, there's a million different ways you connect point A to point B, but we don't really know until Niantic says something. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and not make too many decisions about it until we hear the bottom line. And Niantic says, this is what it is. This is what we're selling. It's a virtual festival that, you know, climaxes with this Pokemon or whatever. I just need to hear the details and then I can really kind of make a fair assessment. But I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, how does Niantic continue to make money, especially when Ingress is having a lot of issues right now? A lot of the player base seems to not be into it, and you know they're having problems having that game make money. Harry Potter, while I think it's doing okay, it's not at nearly at the same level Pokemon Go is, not by a mile. So who knows? Maybe there'll be more games in the future. I'm sure that's inevitable. There's going to be even more Niantic games in the future, but we'll see.
And that's the thing. Pokemon Go is already making tons of money. So it's like, do they really need more?
They do. Well, and to be fair, technically, Harry Potter is not really Niantic's game. Yes, Niantic has a stake in it.
Yeah, that's
really
true.
That's really Warner Brothers' game, Portkey. That's why their logos show up in the beginning of the game, too. Niantic's just providing that location database and maybe, you know, helped them out with some of the map coding and things like that. But ultimately, that game really kind of rests with Warner Brothers. So anyway. I'm going to let you go, my friend, so we can wrap up. But thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, like always.
You're welcome. Take care, buddy. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for calls tonight. Sorry if you didn't get through. You can always tweet us or you can email us, mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. But before we wrap up and call it a night, do we have any last-minute stories?
This isn't really much of anything, but it's the producer of Simpsons Hit and Run said he's up for a remake of the game. So we'll see if they ever get the license to do that. That's about it.
Okay, fair enough. Then I think we'll go around and start to wrap up for the night and get folks' final thoughts. Thank you, of course, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, either watching us live on Twitch on Sunday night or listening to us via our podcast feed. However you decided to watch or listen to the show, we really appreciate it. If you enjoyed what you saw or watched or listened to, be sure to tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on the air, what are we left to do? So really would appreciate that. So tell a friend about the show. Hosting on Twitch goes a long way. Even if you don't stream a lot yourself, putting us on your auto host list, super appreciate that. And many of you do, and I really just want to say thanks for that if you're doing that. Otherwise, we will be back live in 2 weeks. Hoping we'll have something for you next week. Stay tuned to Twitter for all of the updates because now I want to tackle that question we got in our mailbag earlier. So, all right. That's going to do it, though. So, Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
Check out Afropunk Podcast, Stuff You Missed in History, Stuff Mom Never Told You, all really good podcasts. I was going to say something else, and my brain just went, oh, yeah, be kind, but don't be complicit.
My final thought is I really hope I'm not getting sick because I'm supposed to be working the next 3 days out of town and in a class, and like if I'm getting sick, it's gonna be really awkward because I just started this job like not even 4 weeks ago. So please don't let me get sick. God's above, goddess is above. I don't need that right now. Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is I'm gonna be working a lot on my game this week and maybe streaming tomorrow night. I think I've been holding off on streaming What the Golf, so I may do that. We'll see.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for watching or listening, and we will see you next time. Happy gaming. Enjoy whatever it is you're playing right now. Have fun, and don't be mean. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.